It's time for an inside look at the most powerful motorsport on the planet. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
It's the most exciting sport on earth as far as I'm concerned.
Take a walk through the Nitro pits as we go one-on-one with the stars of drag racing.
Hi, I'm Courtney Force.
I'm Tony Schumacher.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
This is Ron Capps, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
Featuring the NHRA's Alan Reinhardt.
Our events are truly an experience. They're not just a spectator event. They are an experience.
So get in, sit down, and hold on with host Joe Costello as he goes WFO.
Thanks, brother. Always love being on WFO, baby. Nobody brings it to you better than you, brother.
Now crank it up. It's time to go WFO. Here's your host, Joe Costello.
Welcome back, NHRA fans, to another edition of WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. And we've got a great one for you this week. I know we have a lot of new listeners every time we do the show. First-time listeners, maybe your friend that compelled you, that grabbed your arm and twisted it behind your back and said, you download this app, you check out this show if you're an NHRA fan. Well, we're going to try to make that little pain you went through worthwhile. We have got Ron Capps, driver of the Napa Auto Parts Dodge Charger for Don Schumacher Racing. You might have noticed on last week's show, if you're a longtime listener, no Caps. What's up with Caps? Where was Caps? Well, we put Caps off to this week because he's going to take questions from WFO Radio listeners. And throughout the week, we've been gathering the questions. People have been calling in the wide open line, submitting their questions. Hey, Ron, here's my question. We're going to play them for Caps coming up in just a little bit. Great opportunity to interact with one of the big stars out there in the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series and most recent race winner out there at Royal Purple Raceway. Very poignant, very timely, very up to the moment, your questions. And one thing about drag racing is if you have a question for a driver, chances are you can go out and find him and ask him and just walk right up to him and say, hey, Ron, this is what it is when you go to an NHRA event. But maybe there's no event in your town at this moment. Maybe you have a question. Maybe you want to ask. And pretty much the drivers are open to whatever the fans have to ask. So we'll find out with Ron, though. Are they personal? Are they invasive? Are they private questions? Are they over the line? Well, you're going to have to wait to find out what kind of questions the WFO Radio listeners submitted. Also on the show, J.R. Todd, driver of the Redline Synthetic Motor Oil Top Fuel Dragster for Coletta Motorsports. He's announcing a new sponsor and a contest. You know how the WFO audience loves to vote on stuff. Well, you're going to get a chance to vote on stuff. J.R. Todd is going to tell us all about it coming up a little bit later on in the show. Also on the show, he is the president of the Fast News Network. How many of you get your NHRA results and maybe don't even know it? We're going to take you behind the scenes. We're going to meet a behind-the-scenes figure in the world of NHRA Mellow Yellow and Lucas Oil Drag Racing who really helps all of us get our NHRA results. Rick Green is going to join us. You're going to meet Rick and have a new appreciation for all those results you see online. And at the tail end of the show, Brian Greer, the son of legendary funny car driver Cheryl Greer, who was inducted into the International Drag Racing Hall of Fame this year, who was voted by you, the fans, the number one finals moment when he won the first funny car title in 1974. Brian and I have been trying to get together for months on this interview. We finally scored it, and you are going to love it. And listen, sometimes these in-between week shows, the Mother's Day show, getting ready for Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to my ma and all the mothers out there. But we just jam-pack them with content. We have got so much content this week, you're not going to be able to listen to the show in one sitting. It's just not going to happen. There's no way. Because Ron Capps is awesome. J.R. Todd is awesome. Rick Green is awesome. Brian Greer is awesome. And, of course, this guy, to start us all off, I was in his part of the country this past weekend, the voice of the NHRA. Joining us now, Alan Reinhardt. Alan, welcome back.
Joe, great to be back.
Now, before we get into it with the news of the NHRA last week, the first quarter wrap-up NHRA press conference, which is actually available in our WFO Radio archive, Jack Beckman, John Force, Larry Dixon, and Erica, I thought it was really cool, and we took it and put it out to the WFO audience, but the drivers got into it. But before we get into that, I want to talk about Tucson, Arizona, where I was this past weekend. As it turns out, the first time I go to Tucson, you're going out of town. Of course, we know you are well-traveled, but allow me to comment on your area. Pretty cool. A lot of nice cars, a lot of great Chevrolets. The Pima Museum, where you sent me, say, hey, go to this thing, one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Thanks for the advice.
Well, happy to be of service. I'm kind of proud of my little corner of the world, and since, you know, I grew up here, there are, I believe, 12 people in town that are over 40 that are native, and I'm one of the 12. So I've been to most of the places, both on and off the beaten path, and it's a nice area. I mean, obviously, it gets a little bit warm in the summertime, you know, the triple-digit temperatures, and you can tell me it's a dry heat until the end of time, but so's the convection oven. I don't know anybody wants to live in one of those. But there is, you know, it's a nice area, and you know, I've called it home, obviously, forever. So I'm glad that you enjoyed it. I'm glad you got to see some of the local sites and found them as interesting and fascinating as us locals do.
It would have been cooler if you were there, though, because as I'm driving around, and I was part of a crew, I wasn't driving, so I was kind of along for the ride, but I'm looking out at different portions of the city, and I'm thinking, you know, is that where Reinhardt is? Is that Reinhardt's shop? Look at those warehouses over there. Maybe that's where Reinhardt does his stuff. And we even hit a couple of, you know, like restaurant, brewery type places, and I'm like, maybe this is the Reinhardt hangout. So it was actually very funny being in your town with you not there. We did get to go out to the racetrack, though. And I'm interviewing Chevrolet owners, and I'm thinking maybe Reinhardt knows this guy. Like, one dude had the Dragon Wagon. It was like this small Chevrolet van. It's got a twin-turbocharged Pontiac engine. The guy talked about he used to have a top dragster, and I'm thinking, does Reinhardt know this guy? It was like everything Tucson was connected to Reinhardt. It was very funny.
Well, most of the local racers I know at some level. I don't have a whole lot of affiliation with the racetrack out here anymore since they switched sanction. But most of the guys that have raced on a local level, especially if they've done it for any amount of time, we've crossed paths, you know, either at a track or in a machine shop or in some racer shop someplace where we're all just kind of hanging out and doing the bench race thing. So, but anyway, like I said, I'm glad you enjoyed my little corner of the world. And I hadn't heard anything about the event. How did it, other than the guys that I have talked to since I've been back in town for the last 4 hours, all said, oh, yeah, we had our own little race within a race to see who could be the first one packed up and out of there, because apparently my little inner circle did not have a whole lot of success out there.
Well, it's not supposed to rain in the desert, from what I understand, and we were doing our thing, and all of a sudden some clouds, pretty serious clouds, came over and blocked out the sun and dropped some rain on us, and that was unusual, from what I understand. But other than that, things that stood out in my mind, and remember, this was a Chevrolet Manufacturer Series-style race, and so it was mostly Chevrolets there, but there were a lot of funny cars, like alcohol funny cars. What I would deem as someone wants to have a funny car, they put an alcohol supercharged engine in it, obviously not a competitive NHRA, but with more of a classic body, not a nostalgia body, but like a body from like a 1990 Firebird or something like that, that they were able to get a funny car body, and they've got a funny car and they're making runs. And a lot of gassers, like the gasser, the retro look gasser, with, you know, jacked up high, front end way high, straight axle in the front. There seemed to be a lot of those, more than in my part of the country. Like, that was kind of a thing. And also just unbelievably beautiful cars that have never seen rust in their lives.
Well, that is one of the fortunate things about being in this part of the world, is that you know, you can have an older car, drive it most of the year, and not have to worry about, you know, the salt on the roads and the other things that colder parts of the country have to deal with as far as rotting your little classic. So there's a pretty nice collection of classic cars out here that, you know, not only don't have rust, but also don't have rust because, not because they've had the quarter panels replaced and the floor panels replaced and the trunk pan is new, but because they're still original sheet metal out there. As far as the funny cars and the gassers, there are a couple of, I don't want to say local, I think regional is the better word, series that they can book in these shows to some of the smaller racetracks where they'll bring 8 cars or 10 cars out there, you know, do a little exhibition, a little heads up, a little match race deal, allow the tracks to book in a show, put her some tickets, kind of like, you know, the classic days when the guys used to do the barnstorming with the funny cars, except the big show cars now have gotten, well, basically unaffordable for most of the little smaller tracks. But these guys put on a heck of a show. They do long burnouts. They're loud. They're fun to watch. And, you know, they're fast enough to be entertaining and exciting. So that's why you see a number of those cars down here. I actually know a few guys that own and campaign those, and, you know, they tell me it's just a lot of fun. It's not a lot of maintenance. You're not pulling the blowers off. You're not pulling the pans off every run. and you can go out and make, you know, two or three runs or four runs in an evening, put on a show, and have some fun, and that's what the guys are doing out there. So, you know, that's as much as we get focused on the Mellow Yellow Series, the Lucas Oil Series, and what we do at that level, you know, the bottom line is that drag racing, NHRA drag racing, is a lot more than just that. I was at the Eagleplex up in Ashcroft, British Columbia over the weekend, which is the reason I wasn't here. And, you know, the same thing, a bunch of guys just out there doing it for the love of the sport. They're not guys that we're going to see, for the most part, on the Lucas Oil Series. They're not guys that have aspirations, even if they had the means to go racing in the Mellow Yellow Series. But they're guys that like to go out and race, and they like to see what they can do to make their cars faster, or they like to try to outrun their neighbors. And there's just still so much of that out there, which is the entire focus of the program, why I was in Ashcroft, why we do these ESPN track visits there and the Sportsman Show, is to remind people that, hey, drag racing doesn't just take place in Charlotte or Dallas or Indy or L.A. Somewhere there's a little NHRA member track near you, and you can go out there, whether you're racing your pickup or your minivan, or whether you've got a 10-second bracket car or a top dragster, there's some place you can go out and race and be involved. And that's what makes it so much fun to go to these smaller tracks off the beaten path and meet the people that do it just because they love it, for the most part. Sure, they still want to win trophies, but they're doing it just because they love it.
Absolutely. And I think about that a lot, too, because it's a business. They're in the city or town. They're paying taxes. But it's a kind of a community hub. There's not too many other businesses that... really, their lifeblood is a social experience. You know, nightclubs and bars, sure, people come there, they hang out for a while, they buy some product, they leave. But a drag strip is something totally different in that people come out, they spend many hours there. It's like an 8-hour or 6 to 8-hour experience. They're meeting with their friends, they're hanging out, they're eating food from the concession stand, they're participating in an event. Like, you know, what is like that? A bowling alley? You going out on league night competing? It's really hard to analogize it to something, but it is this social hub for a certain group of people, i.e. the car guys, car culture, mechanics, shop owners, vinyl store owners, paint shop owners, you know, the businesses that are kind of wrapped around this. And the drag strip in a community is a hub for those kind of guys. So if you're like a regular citizen, NHRA fan, and you're looking for the trusted mechanic, I guess you could go to your local, like, White Pages book and pick one out of the book, or you could go out to your local drag strip, and chances are you're going to find somebody that probably has a pretty good rep, because they have to hold up that rep in person to people who are racers, who, you know, they kind of demand excellence most of the time. I think about that all the time, and how to bring more people into that local business. It is a challenge, but it's kind of a fun challenge if you think about it.
No question. And, you know, that's a reason that local businesses oftentimes, you know, get on board and support one of their local race cars. You know, a guy that's got a local business here has really no interest in being on the side of a funny car that's racing in St. Louis next week or in Topeka next week. But if he can get on the side of a bracket 2 car or a super pro car out here, then the guy going to the races that goes, hey, you know what, I need tires, I'll check out that place. And, you know, that's how sponsorship started in general, and how it still works, and why a lot of the local businesses either have a race car or involved with a local team, because they know that their customers are going to be out there at the racetrack, and that's how you reach them.
One final note on Tucson. I was looking for the name of the place that I went. Nimbus Brewery. Reinhardt Hangout or not?
No, I'm not familiar with that one, which is rather strange for me not to know a brewery, but I'll have to look it up now. If it comes with the Joe Costello seal of approval, I'll have to check it out.
It actually was very cool. It was right by the train tracks. It was like in this warehouse district. It was so strange because we were going
back.
Oh,
okay. I know exactly where it is. Okay.
There
you
go. And okay. The bartender was super nice and super cool. It was recommended by one of my pilot friends who works on the Air Force base over there. But great stuff. Good time in your town. Let's talk a little NHRA drag racing. You know, last week, the NHRA press conference, which is in our archive, you can hear Erica and John Forrest and Jack Beckman taking questions, open questions from the media. We'll start with John Forrest, who led us behind the curtain a little bit to his own emotional state, that he was not happy and not feeling good, and there was an intervention. His family came to him and said, you know, Dad, you're not acting the way we like or want. You are being kind of negative. We need you to enjoy what you're doing. And John says he was able to to shake it off and find that success. And now that he's in it, he's done it, he's in a new mind state. That's kind of cool that he lets us behind the curtain with that, and he's kind of moving forward.
Well, John is a guy who has always been pretty open. If you catch him at whatever moment, he's going to tell you about what's on his mind. And if that's what he was focused on or that's what he was thinking about that day, he definitely was, I think, letting some of the pressure of running the business take away from the fun of racing the car. And, being able to separate things is something that, in my mind, is pretty important if you want to be successful in that business. You look at a Tim Wilkerson or a Cruz Pedregon that does the crew chief and driver role, and they've both said that, you really have to compartmentalize. When I go back to the trailer, I have to focus on the crew chief aspect, what I'm doing. When it comes time to put the helmet on, I have to shut all that out, and I have to be the driver. And for John, there's times when he has to be the businessman. He has to be the guy who's out there chasing corporate America and trying to find the funding and trying to put the deals together and try to replace some of the sponsors that have left him. But when it comes time to get out there and be John, the guy that the fans love to see, and John, the guy that drives the race car, you have to be able to shut the other part of it off. And I think that he was having a little crossover there, for lack of a better term. He wasn't able to get into the, John the racer persona because he was so concerned about the other stuff, and his team came together and basically pointed it out to him. It's like, hey, boss, you're not being yourself. This is what worked for you. This is what got you there. This is what made you successful. When you're in this arena, this is what this is the face you have to put on. When you go back on Tuesday or Wednesday and you're having a meeting in a boardroom, all right, fine. Be the businessman. Be the guy who's worried about business. But when you're out here, be the guy who's worried about taking care of your fans, winning races, and enjoying what you do for a living, because so very few people get to do that for a living.
Yes, isn't that the truth? Jack Beckman on the call basically talking about his start to the season, and he feels happy he won a race, but getting to the final and not winning was bothering him. How do you think that team has done so far, considering that they are multiple personalities being put together in a different situation? Jimmy Prock and John Medlin and those guys coming over from John Force Racing. Jack with this, he's a champion driver, but now given just a tremendous opportunity to go get another one in the Nitro ranks, of course. And he said he wasn't satisfied with where he was at this point. I felt like they've done pretty well, all things considered. He's not satisfied.
Well, I thought it was an interesting dynamic to watch, and Jack shouldn't be satisfied. Don Prudhomme, whatever year it was, went out and won 7 of 8 national events, went to the final at the 8th one. At the end of the year, he wasn't satisfied. Racers always want to improve. They want to be better. They want to strive to be better than they were before. They set lofty goals, and they have high expectations. I think the Jimmy Prock thing, for anybody that's a casual fan of the sport, or maybe not a casual fan, anybody who considers himself to be a hardcore fan but doesn't really know the inside of the sport, should have gotten a lesson there. Because you look at what Jimmy Prock has done over the years and how successful he's been. He's always been fast. He's always qualified near the top. He's always won a lot of races. As a home run hitter, he certainly has his share of pop-ups. But when he came over to Don Schumacher Racing, I think a lot of people figured, okay, well, here we go. Jack all of a sudden is back in business. And the fact that it took 5 or 6 races to get there, they started with a DNQ. Obviously, there were some weather issues and some other things in Pomona. And Jimmy Prock was very candid about the fact that the Don Schumacher stuff is different from the John Force stuff. Keep in mind, Force manufactures all of his stuff in-house. Schumacher manufactures all of his stuff in-house. And you look at those things from the outside and you go, well, it's just, if you put this guy with this guy. But the fact that they really are different. And as smart as Jimmy Prock is, as much knowledge as he has to pull from, especially with John Medlin being there to work with, it still took him time to adapt to this new configuration. Right now, he looks like he's got a pretty good handle on it, and I would say, hang on, because it's going to be a heck of a ride for Jack for the rest of the season. But I think, a lot of people don't understand how intricate these cars are and just how different they are when you look at them from the outside. Speaking with Mike Edwards when he was invited to come out and hang out with the Summit guys. And, he and Jason have been friends for a long time. He and Greg have known each other, obviously, from racing head-to-head. but they never really had a close personal relationship. And he says, you know, when they invite me to, hey, come out and hang out at the races, you know, just come hang out and be an extra set of eyes, and if you see something, point it out to us. And he says, man, these guys run their cars so differently from what I did. At first glance, he's like, I don't know if I can help them at all because I didn't run my suspension like that. I didn't run gear ratios like they do. My engine didn't operate in the same RPM range as they did. They run a completely different style clutch. But when you look at the cars and go, the performance is so close, and you think, well, they're all identical. But in reality, they're not, and that's what makes the performances so impressive. You know, I think Jimmy Prok now has found a comfort zone with the new equipment that he's working with. Obviously, the driver he's working with is getting the job done, and the crew is bolting it back together correctly all the time. So I look for big things out of that car coming up in the not-too-distant future. It's pretty amazing that, unless I'm mistaken, Matt Hagan has won twice this year, Erica has won twice this year on the national event level. Nobody else has doubled up, and it's just kind of a pretty wide-open field. You know, we're six races into the season. There's only one spot left locked into the tracks of shootout for Top Fuel, and I think that's pretty amazing.
It is, and it's one of the positives that has come from locking the rules down so tightly, and we're kind of watching it happen. There might be a negative on the other side of it, but I kind of want to pose it to you. You know, we don't have a race this weekend, so we can kind of just go off in different directions. And you, of course, have been absolved of your question-answering responsibilities because
yes.
Caps has taken the questions. And we've got some great ones for Caps, but it's a double-edged sword in that if you keep the rules exactly the same or very close to the same, you have people who work at a team, and then maybe they learn how things are going, and then they move somewhere else. Like we see Jason McCullough. He's over there with Vandegrift now, and I'm sure he's taking everything, the experience, at very least, that he learned while with Alan Johnson and applying it to what he's working with Vandegrift. Their competitiveness is coming up. There's a million reasons. Joe Barlam as well. That is a good thing. On the other side of it, though, what you just said about how the fans can't see the differences in the cars, even though they are considerably different, and that maybe causes a perceived stagnation in the minds of the fans, whereas once upon a time, a Gary Ormsby brought out a streamliner, and it was the engine was covered, and Don Garlitz brought out a streamliner, and it was different because the front end was covered, and Joe Amato brought out a tall wing, and there was this visible difference in the way the cars looked that fans could say, oh, look at that, that's neat. Oh, wow, that's cool. Oh, I see what he's trying to accomplish there with a new style, whatever, and now they can't see it. IndyCar's getting ready for their Indy 500, and they've got these aero kits that they've created specifically to show the fans some sort of difference, to make sure that they are not perceived to be spec cars. Do you think that's something that we need, even though the racing is closer and more competitive than ever before? And any driver personality on any given day can win if they put together four great reaction times and great runs, which is great, as you said, only two double-up winners. Is there something we could, should, or want to do to make the fans able to see it, the differences?
Well, in Top Fuel, obviously now we have the canopied cars or the capsule cars versus the open cockpit cars, so there's at least a visual difference there. You know, the thing that you run into if you go, okay, we're going to have some of these, and some of these, is that there will always be a perceived advantage. If Joe Costello's car is faster than mine and he runs the A package and I run the B package, then part of me is going to always believe, you know what, he's got an advantage with the A package. I need to be running that same package, at which point, you know, the cars get closer together. The evolution of the funny cars has come about in large part because of wind tunnel testing. The evolution of pro stock cars is kind of the same way, because the competition has gotten to the point that you need every little advantage that you can get, and it refines some of the differences in personality, I guess for lack of a better term, out of the sport. If I could build a pro stock car that really looked like a 2015 Camaro, I mean, really looked like it, had the grill of the 2015 Camaro, had the stance of a 2015 Camaro, but aerodynamically, it was 300ths slower than the car that Erica has, I'm out of business. And so that's, you know, that makes it difficult. If you told everybody, okay, you have to run the factory package. You have to run the factory doghouse on your Pro Stock car. You can do whatever you want on the back of it, but you got to run the factory doghouse. The Dodge guys, if they run the Challenger, have a tremendous hill to climb because the car is so much bigger in the frontal area that they're going to be at a disadvantage, even if they have identical horsepower. And so it's difficult to legislate. It's difficult to legislate that without giving somebody at least a perceived advantage, and oftentimes I think a real advantage, not just a perceived advantage, but a real advantage. Back in the Pro Stock truck days, the Dodge Dakota is a much bigger machine than the Chevrolet S10 or the Ford Ranger, and the guys that ran the Dodges had a distinct disadvantage just strictly because of that. And by rules, it has to be this according to what the real truck was, the street version of the truck was. So the Dodge guys couldn't just shrink their trucks down until they were the same size as the Chevy to get that advantage back. And that showed in part in the performance. The fact that the Chevrolets dominated that, or the GMCs, which is in essence the same truck, is not because they're so much smarter than the Dodge guys, or they made so much more horsepower than the Dodge guys. It was because the Dodge guys had that distinct disadvantage, and that's a difficult thing to legislate without giving somebody, like I said, at least a perceived advantage.
And excellent points that you are making, and part of the challenge, because as you unwrap the wrapping paper that is the car, there are so many differences, and I think the fans would be very interested to see those differences. And it's just something that when you do that, then you maybe lose the very fine razor-thin layer of competitiveness, which is kind of interesting. All right, next, Ron Capps is on the show. He is the points leader. Hagen is second. Worsham is third. Del Worsham, obviously, racking up the points. Go to 11th, John Hale, Tim Wilkerson, and Chad Head. So a good car is going to miss this countdown. We are seeing a great year. Even Cruz, just 140 points, 10th. We are seeing like a parity that we haven't seen, obviously coming from what you say. What does separate the differences in your thoughts, Alan? Like, what is the difference between winning and losing on race day? Is it as simple as a crew guy making a mistake, or is it more in the hands of the driver? And how do the crew chiefs navigate that?
It's all of the above. Obviously, the crew guys that put the car together are a huge part of it. Ron Capps had a great line one time a while back when he said, "I don't tell my guys great job." He said, "I tell them same job," because that's what they need to do, the same job over and over and over again. They have to do it exactly the same. So if Ron Tobler makes a 2-gram adjustment in the clutch or makes a half a degree adjustment in the timing, that the car responds. If you're not putting the clutch in exactly the same every time, then that 2 grams or 5 grams might make no difference whatsoever. So they have to do the same job over and over and over again. You got to have some luck on your side. You look at Ron Capps, who won, actually I guess Ron's won 2 races too, hasn't he? I should throw him in that mix. When Ron won in Gainesville, he beat Tim Wilkerson by 1/10,000th of a second. From the, what are you kidding me, file?
Yeah.
I mean, that couldn't have gone the other way. When, at the last race, Ron beat, and I'm trying to remember who it was, but he beat somebody in the semifinals by 1/1,000th of a second. Those two races could have easily gone the other way. Easily. Nobody did anything wrong. Right? What was the deal last week? 076 to an 077 light, and they both ran identical ETs, and Ron's win light comes on because he was 076 instead of 077. That's not something you can plan for. That's not something you practice for. That's just something that happened to fall your way. The Tim Wilkerson run at 1/10,000th of a second, exactly the same thing. Tim didn't do anything wrong. He had a respectable light, actually better than what his average light is, and made a very nice run and got beat by less than an inch. I mean, it's crazy what's going on out there, and that's a big part of it. You've bracket raced, and you've talked to the guys, whether it's the Fletchers, the Biondos, the Rampies. Man, you're on a real run right now, and they're like, man, they're just falling my way. And there's no way you can plan for that, prepare for that, or count on that. Sometimes it happens, and sometimes it just turns completely against you. All those little 1,000th margin of victories or 1/10,000th margin of victories could start going the other way. And if that happens, for Ron, that's 2 races that we're talking about, a grand total of 11/10,000ths of a second. 11/10,000ths of a second decided 2 races, and he wouldn't be the points leader if they hadn't both gone in his favor. And You know, that's a big part of it. You know, make no mistakes and cross your fingers a lot. I think that's the key.
That's nutty. Then when you put it that way, when you put it that way, and you think about the money and the guys and how they feel and their mood and all of that stuff coming down to thousands of a second, it is very impressive. We've had a great season so far, and I think it's only going to get better. Points meet this past weekend out there in Indy. Speaking of David Rampe making the final round, again, this guy is outrageous right now, but Brina Splinger beating him in Superstock.
Brina's pretty tough. Let me tell you, don't take that young lady lightly. But David Rampe is putting together a tremendous season right now. You know, he said in one of the very recent issues of National Dragster, with two wins on the board already in Superstock, he might have to rethink and start going for the national championship with two of them out there on the big screen or on the big scale, and going to the final round, obviously, at Indy. 668 race cars there over the course of the weekend. And, you know, the guys out there, Randy Simpson and his team out there at Lucas Oil Raceway, just do a tremendous job. Of course, they're equipped to handle a 600-car race. But just another terrific weekend. And, you know, look out for Rampe. There's obviously a lot of racing to go. But you get all those points on the board pretty early in the season, and it's going to be very difficult for somebody to overtake that.
600 cars. My goodness. That tells
68,
you
I believe, was the official count.
That tells you something about something. I don't know what. You know, you can look into it in a million different ways, but anytime you can get 600 anything anywhere at once, it's a big deal, let alone racers and race cars all in one spot. I think good things are happening here at the beginning of 2015. Alan, great job as usual. Thank you so much. Of course, Cap's taking over the questions. We're going to get to him in a minute, but I greatly appreciate you kind of just flinging it and going into different places regarding the sport of drag racing. That's why we have this time, and I think it is greatly appreciated by our listeners.
Well, thank you, Joe. That's very kind. If I can just one last little note from the Indy event. It was the Division III opener on the Lucas Oil Drag Racing Series, as it's been for the last number of years, and they had a tribute to the late Leo Taher on Friday night, the first time that all of the racers in Division III were able to get together since he passed. And I wasn't able to be there, although I did record something and send it on. And from everybody that I heard, it was just a packed house and a lot of great stories told, and more than a few Mick Ultras drank and tipped up to our friend Leo. And still miss that guy. I'm going to miss him for a number of years. He was a big part of me getting involved in NHRA and getting, you know, me getting to the level where I am now. I've always been very grateful for his help and for his friendship, and I'm sorry that I couldn't attend the memorial in person, but, you know, as I said on the video that I sent, I have the one excuse that I believe Leo would forgive me for, and that's that I'm at a racetrack. And, you know, he loved his guys, and they obviously loved him, so it was a very nice tribute and just another special part of a very special race to kick off Division III's.
I'm looking at Leo's face as we speak on DragRaceCentral.com. They've got a photo of Leo recently and then a photo of Leo back in the day, which, you know, he was a former, there's no such thing as a former Marine. He was a Marine, and you could tell because he looked tough. I agree, Leo, very, very helpful, you know, for the past several years. You guys would be out hanging out at the track, and I would come and hang out with you, and it is very unfortunate. It's very troubling that Leo no longer with us. But it's great that the tribute went very well and that the racers showed up to pay their respects.
I'm just sorry that I couldn't have been there, but I look forward to seeing my Division III buddies at some point down the road.
There you go. Alan, thank you so much. Great job as usual. And we'll speak with you next week as we get ready for Atlanta.
All right, Joe, you have a great week, and enjoy your Mother's Day weekend. It's so strange to have two weekends off in a row. And we'll talk next Tuesday.
Thanks, Alan. The voice of the NHRA, Alan Reinhardt, joins us each week right here on WFO Radio. And I think that was a great drag racing discussion. I told you at the start of the show, this show is so jam-packed with content that you are going to love it if you're a drag racing fan. If you're like our normal people who are trying to kill a couple of hours of boredom at home, you're a truck driver, you work in a cubicle, you're a mailman, you're really looking for someone to activate your brain while you're gobbling up hours working for someone else, this show is going to be for you. We're going to gobble up your whole week and maybe into next week, but you're not going to want to miss one of the interviews. Brian Greer, tail end of the show. Don't miss it. You will love it. Rick Green, president of the Fast News Network. Don't miss it. A behind-the-scenes guy that makes getting results very possible. You're going to love hearing his story. J.R. Todd, new sponsor. What is it? A chance for you to vote on something. What is it? Stick around. But coming up next, the Q&A. We have been promoting for a week Ron Capps. He won the O'Reilly Auto Parts NHRA Spring Nationals down at Royal Purple Raceway. And we are now going to have him answer questions from you. And all you people who were too shy to answer your questions, listen to these questions, and then the next time we have a driver on, you will have an idea of what kind of questions to ask. Simple as that. Success leaves tracks, and you will have an idea of what kind of questions to ask. Ron Capps, Napa Auto Parts, Dodge Charger, Don Schumacher Racing, coming up next, answering wide-open questions from the wide-open audience. But first, listen. Spiegel & Utrera, PA, General Counsel Club, we're going to get into it. I got to tell you, I'm not an attorney there. I am not an attorney. I do not have a law practice. I am a racing announcer and a radio show host. But let me tell you, these people do wonders for people who are starting businesses and need a little bit of direction, advice, or ideas. And you can get a 30-day free membership to the Spiegel & Utrera General Counsel Club. All you have to do is go to WFOradio.com, click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad. Why is it on our site? Because they got a banner ad there on the right-hand side. You click through it, and it brings you to a special landing page where you will find out all kinds of information. If nothing else, check it out and read. There is a podcast series that we did with business-related questions and answers from Larry Spiegel, who has been on the show, who has told us his ideas and concepts, and I think you will be greatly surprised. You get an Entrepreneur's Alert newsletter. You get unlimited legal and business advice for 30 days. And if you are a startup business, if you are just getting down to business, if you're looking for a whole host of issues, they can be helpful. Here's what you do. Go to WFOradio.com, click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad, and enter your information. No credit card, no obligation, none of that. Just a free 30-day membership, the Entrepreneur's Alert newsletter, and lots of great information on how to buy or sell a business, converting hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses, IRS examinations, audits, liens, levies, deficiencies, any issues with the IRS, these people can help. Tips on leasing a business location, whether for retail, office, warehouse, or industrial, legitimate business expenses for tax purposes, documents, contracts, business entities, trademarks, copyrights, they do it all. And they're big WFO Radio supporters. Go to WFOradio.com, click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad. You can hear the podcast that I host with tons of great information, and you can get your 30-day free membership. It's called the General Counsel Club. They're lawyers. They'll act as your general counsel with unlimited business and legal advice for 30 days. You get a free membership thanks to the folks at Spiegel & Utrera, PA. Remember, knowledge is power. And knowing that the Spiegel & Utrera, PA's General Counsel Club is one phone call away may give you the confidence to succeed during the day and rest well at night. Coming up next, Ron Capps answers questions from you. We'll be back after this.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Hey everybody, Joe here, and I hereby decree on behalf of the WFO universe, The winter is over, which means it's time to grill. Get yourself some Rodax Coffee and Grills.com, barbecue, spice rub, hot sauce, and of course, incredible coffee. They've got the WFO radio blend, they've got the Bang the Blower, they've got the exotics. It's all roasted fresh per your order, representing the top 5% of coffee throughout the world. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com or give Marvin a call. 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Hi, I'm Larry Dixon. You know, there's more to racing than pushing a top-fuel dragster down the track at over 325 miles an hour in less than 4 seconds. Like in any business, it takes careful planning and hard work. YourVelocity.com provides the tools and information you need to effectively start, grow, and run a successful business. I'm excited to work with Velocity, not only as a spokesperson, but as a client. So don't spin your wheels. Visit yourvelocity.com today.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
And the moment you've all been waiting for, we've been promoting it for a week following the O'Reilly Auto Parts NHRA Spring Nationals presented by Superstar Batteries out there at Royal Purple Raceway. We had all the winners on except for one. And a lot of the astute WFO radio listeners said, hey, where's Caps? What's up with Caps? And we did this deal because we wanted to feature, we wanted to highlight Ron Caps on the show. He has agreed to take and respond to questions from you, the WFO radio listeners and WFO radio audience. Hopefully, this is a great way to grow our audience. And he joins us now all the way from Las Vegas, Nevada, Ron Caps. Ron, welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be back. Appreciate it.
First of all, before we get into all this, because there's a lot to get into, we've got a ton of questions from listeners, and we got to talk about you winning the race, but where are you? I'm seeing the pictures you're putting out on Instagram. It looks like Shangri-La. There's a chessboard. It's in the pool. Where are you?
I'm in Las Vegas, and this week is a huge event, especially for me being a Napa Auto Parts sponsored guy. It's what they call the Napa Expo, and they don't do it, but every 4 or 5 years. It's 22,000-plus Napa store owners, auto care center owners, just Napa people invading Vegas, and they put on this huge deal. I mean, it's unbelievable. They got the whole Mandalay. I'm in the Delano Hotel next to the Mandalay. Like I said, 22,000 people, and they wasted no time, and they got Adam Ferrara, who's on Top Gear, and the comedian, he's on the show, Nurse Jackie. He's here, and I got Trace Atkins playing. I got Train playing. They've got Latrell, who from Lone Survivor, the guy that they made the movie after. He's going to give a speech, and a whole bunch of drivers. Tony Stewart's coming in. Dale Jr., Casey Kane. I mean, it's crazy. Even Forrest is coming in. They just got a huge. They built Napa City in this area, so it's an unbelievable event. So. That's what I'm doing here.
Well, that's why I follow your feed, because I want to see where I want to be at some point in the future. You know, we got a Delano on South Beach here where the WFO radio studios are. Not that we are exactly on South Beach, but we're about a 20 to 30 minute ride on a good day. And now they've got a Delano in Vegas. And I got to say, that one looks a little better.
Man, I didn't even know all that until yesterday. I was flying in and I didn't understand what the Delano meant, and I read the book when I got in here. This place is pretty nice, man.
Well, what does it mean? What's the history? Break some, kick some knowledge.
Dude, I just didn't know that there was one in South Beach.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know what it was. So when you get here, it's got that kind of vibe. And I posted a picture on my Twitter. They got two swimming pools. They got one that is clothing optional, and then they got another one, which I won't be at that one, by the way.
Sounds
and then they
nice.
Got the one with the life-size chess. Game out between the two pools, and typical Vegas, everything's unbelievable, you know, so nice place.
I find it hard to believe that it's clothing optional for middle-aged men.
I'm not even going to answer that. I don't even know.
I don't think so. I think a certain clientele is allowed to be clothing optional. You know, the European crowd of the female nature. My guess, though, you know, it's who knows? Who knows? So there are a couple of reasons we're doing it this way. First of all, how's your son? How's he feeling? How's he doing? I know he had a little bit of a procedure last week. Is everything well?
Yeah, he's doing good. Poor kid. He's gone so much the last year, but he actually, the surgery he had after the Houston race was a torsal coalition, I guess they call it, where his feet have sort of grown together, all the bones, so they went in and had to break some of the bones up, and it's something I guess some kids kind of are born with. So everything went good. Yeah, it was funny. I posted that picture of him in there. He wanted me to post on his Instagram, and then I didn't realize he was on his anesthesia when he said it. So the next morning, my wife stayed in the hotel room, hospital room. But I went back the next day, and he looked at his Instagram. He's like, "Dad, really?" I said, "You asked me." So, anyway, he's doing good.
That is great to hear. Great news. Obviously, give him our best. And you can use the anesthesia excuse from now on. It's like, hey, man, you were on anesthesia. Part two, I'll tell you, I felt bad. After Gainesville, we did the interview in the tower, and it was a great one. And we did the interview, and you were like, "I'll talk to you on Tuesday." And I was like, "No, you won't, because this is it." And the feeling, it was almost like I could sense genuine disappointment. Then I thought, wow, that is great. Ron Capps is actually disappointed he doesn't get to do the show, but I didn't want to do that to you again. And so we're having you on over the phone as opposed to the Winner's Circle 2-minute job. What do you think of that?
Well, yeah, and I didn't know you interviewed our assistant crew chief, Eric. Eric, that was cool last week to hear that. I think it's great to hear some of the guys that work on these cars, because a lot of our fans, you know, they get tired of hearing us drivers talk. I'm sure some more than others, but I'm sure that there are a lot of interested fans that want to hear what Tober or Jimmy Prock or Mike Green, or like you had Eric on talking. But when you did the interview in Gainesville, you could probably ask any driver, I think I could speak for most of them, that NHRA, when you win a race, there's a couple of things you can almost guarantee. One of them is you're going to be on your show, WFO. So it's always nice to get home, you wake up Monday morning, and you don't have to pinch yourself. You realize you really did win the race the day before. And then, then the other stuff kind of flows in, like getting a phone call from you and being able to do the show.
Well, I am apologizing for robbing you of that moment after Gainesville, but now we're going to do it even better because you have agreed to answer questions from the WFO radio audience. Are you sure?
Oh, man.
You sure you want to go through with this?
This could be good or really bad. I'm not sure, but let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, and I'll interweave some questions about, obviously, the race, and it was a very tough race. You mentioned Eric's interview. After doing my job, I kind of shake off the fact that I'm done working as an NHRA announcer, and now I need to gather some interviews. And at that point, I was able to get a great photo of Ron Tobler in your car getting pushed back. Eric was there. Wasn't that cool? He's in there. He's got his chalice of victory, and Eric was there. He led us behind the scenes on a lot of stuff. I got some great stuff with Doug and Jimmo, and it's just a great moment. But at that point, everyone is exhausted. That's the thing I don't think the fans get, is that everyone that has been working is exhausted at that point.
Yeah, and it's, you know, there's so much goes on. You work your butt off. You never know if you're ever getting back to the winner's circle. Even with a sponsorship, a big team, a big owner like ours, you just don't know. The competition is that tough. You surely think you will, but you can't guarantee it. So when you do, and especially a weekend like Houston, it was so hot, so humid, so just demanding on everybody, especially the crew guys, that, at the end of you've kind of bottled everything in, and then you do all the hat dancing and all the winter circle stuff. And what a lot of people, I told some, but one cool thing about Tobler I've always loved from the get-go was when we win a race, they stop the car at the top end. And, of course, I jump on the mellow yellow little cart and ride back. But Tobler gets in the car, and he jumps in the funny car, and he steers it back when they tow it into the winner's circle. It's something he's always done. And I remember up until we ran this new Charger body, he used to, in the winner's circle, would be standing there between hats, and he'd look over, and he would just say, "Man, I can't believe you drive this thing. It's so hard to see." Like, he says he just takes it for granted sometimes that it's an easier car to drive, which is the most compliment you can ever get from a crew chief. And, of course, you saw the cup he has. He's gotten those cups given to him. They're sort of a bedazzled cup. And so, that picture of him in the car is what he does when we win. And he drives it back to the pit area after the winner's circle when they tow it with the tow vehicle. And it's just, it's something I think a lot of fans maybe didn't know, and it's kind of a cool thing that Tober does.
I love it. In the first round, you beat John Hale. Second round, you took down the world champion, Matt Hagen, in the semis, that incredible 1,000th of a second, identical ET's reaction time victory win over Robert Height. And then in the final round, you took down the number one qualifier, Fast Jack Beckman. Let's get to the questions. The first one coming from Larry Samuels. I'm very interested to hear your answer. Here he is.
Yeah, my question is for Ron Capps. My name is Larry Samuels. We grew up together when we were kids. And my question is, Kiss or Van Halen, dude?
Kiss or Van Halen, dude?
I know, Larry. That's funny. I haven't seen him in years. We grew up when we were probably middle school. He's missing part of his middle finger, believe it or not, because he reached down while we were riding bikes and cut part of his finger off. Man, that's a blast from the past. I can't believe he called. I would say I got to go with Kiss, and only because I was a Kiss Army member from the get-go. That first album, Kiss Alive, was unbelievable. I got to go with Kiss. That's a no-brainer.
Okay. I love
early him. Kiss. Kiss.
I love them both. You know, Gene, a big drag racer or a racing fan. He was drag racing for a while, then he got into the IndyCar thing. Ultimate showman promoter, though. But Van Halen, though, Diamond Dave, the whole thing, Eddie, that's a tough question right there.
Yeah, but Kiss kind of started it all. And in fact, Gene Simmons is pretty responsible for Van Halen being around, if you know the history. So, I got to go with Kiss, early Kiss. I cannot listen to later Kiss, and Kiss nowadays is just a bunch of chord playing. But that early Van Halen album, that first one was awesome. But again, Kiss kind of paved the way for a lot of those guys.
All right, there it is. Thanks for your call, Larry. And by the way, he is a loyal listener, a super drag racing fan, and he is always eager to participate in the show. He even called in a very cool little song that he wrote a couple of weeks back. So,
nice.
Very cool. All right, next question. This one coming from Rich in Saugus.
Hey, guys, it's Rich in Saugus. I have a question for Ron. Hey, Ron, how's it going?
Good.
I was wondering which event you liked best at Famoso, whether it's the March meet or the California Hot Rod reunion in the fall. Thanks for taking my question. WFO.
He even leaves a pause for you to respond. That's a very astute call.
That was well planned. That was awesome.
March meet or Hot Rod reunion?
Hands down, the March meet. The reunion's fun. The reunion's put on more by NHRA, and it's a lot of fun. You get a lot of the guys coming out from the old days, but it's much more structured, and it's much more sort of an NHRA event. The March meet is like going back in time, and it's run by Blake and the Bowser family there, him and his dad. And it's, if you haven't been, I tell people there's a few things that you got to go do on your bucket list as far as drag racing. Brainerd's one of them. And a close second is the March meet of Famosa. It's one of my favorite events. It's like going back in time. It's quarter mile racing with 40 something nitro funny cars from the 70s and, fuel alters, which they just started a new class. And they did this last year at the March meet. And I think my next March meet, I'm hoping to be in a seat of a fuel altered, which is on my bucket list. So if you haven't, listeners, been to the March meet in Famosa, make your plans. Trust me, it's a great race.
Wow, what an endorsement. I want to go at some point, and I will, but I there could only be a few other venues that are a little further from where I am at that time of the year. So it has been a challenge, but everybody says it. It's like going back in time to the golden age of nitro funny car racing.
Yeah, and it's just, I'll remember the first few times I went back to drive when I drove, Pluger's L.A. Hooker car and then Del Worsham's Blue Max. I mean, you know, when we show up at an NHRA race, we're working. But I couldn't believe Del Worsham, the enthusiasm. We're up at like 6 a.m. having breakfast at the hotel in Bakersfield, ready to go to the track, which that never happens at one of our races. We're never up that early waiting to go to the racetrack. I mean, we just were like little kids, and it was like it's been like that every time we go. So Chad Head goes. I mean, you get all the racers going, and that one year we had so many of the guys working on the race car that I was driving, the Blue Max. It's just a fun event.
Sounds cool. Definitely on the bucket list. The next question for NHRA points leader in the funny car division, Ron Capps. This one coming from Mike, a.k.a. Race Guitar on Twitter. This one is coming from Mike.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Ron. How you doing? First off, let's start with I hope Caden's feeling better. Secondly, let's get to the question. Number one, Ron, do you think that Ron Fogler, the crew chief, ever has an opportunity where he sits down, he looks at the numbers, but he looks at the track conditions and the weather, and he thinks, I know this is what the computer says, but my gut tells me there's more here, and tunes according to his gut in place of the computer? And inversely, do you ever hear from Ron, listen, Ron, I set up the car to run X, I think it's going to take it, and you yourself, with your experience, have said, I'm not sure about this. I'm going to launch this car with my hand on the brake just to be safe. Hey, thanks for your time. Napa Racing Rules. Support your local track and WFO, baby. Ciao.
Says Race Guitar Mike.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's a great question, too, by the way, because that does happen a lot. You know, these crew chiefs have every bit of every information they want to look at. It's factual. It's data that they download afterwards. And where I get dressed, my closet, my locker, and where I get dressed and undressed into my fire suit and where I do everything, all my stuff, is in the crew chief lounge. So it's great that I get to listen to Eric and Ron Tobler talk. And Tobler is a great guy, and I've been blessed to be around the same type of crew chief with Ed McCulloch and Roland Leong and Tim Richards, and you know, this goes down with guys I've gotten to work with, Dale Armstrong. They've all listened to what the driver says, even though they've got the data in front of them. And there's lots of time. In fact, last weekend in Houston, where I will let them know that I either felt something in the car or didn't, and sometimes they may be looking at that data, the drive shaft or something on the car, the G-meter, and it may be trying to tell them something, but when I tell them what I feel, they go and look at it even closer, and they might analyze it and look at it differently and see that what I'm saying is kind of matching up with what they weren't really looking at the time. And it goes both ways, but it's funny how there's times that they've had it set up, and I've gotten out there, and I've letting the car move around, and they may have thought that I rotated the car out of the groove a little bit as much as I felt like I did, and I'll tell them, hey, I think if I could have kept the car straight, it would have stayed hooked up, and just to leave it alone and set it up again like you had it, and I'll do my job better. And sure enough, the car will go out there and go right down the track, so it happens a lot like that, and sometimes they look at me like, you're full of crap. You're not even close to what you felt in the car is what I'm looking at. So, and every driver will tell you that. Sometimes you want to wait to tell them what you felt until they look at the computer because that thing will make a liar out of you in a heartbeat. But for me, I've always been honest with my crew chiefs as much as I can be. I come back and I tell them no matter what I felt, if the tires vibrated, whatever, and just let them make their decisions because if I'm not honest with them, it's not going to help things.
Do you guys have a sensor that shows, like, left-right steering input? Is that something that's recorded?
Oh, boy, Joe, you're barking up a tree. There's drivers listening to the show that have had crew chiefs that would put those on there. And I've got a teammate, in fact, that had a crew chief that put it on his funny car several times. I won't mention his name. All it does is just make it worse for the driver. I mean, you're out there trying to keep this animal straight. And when you get a crew chief that may doubt you because he thinks you're not driving into the car or you're telling him what the car's doing and it may be going left or right, and it's a bad enough issue that they've got to put sensors on it to tell where you're steering at and they don't believe what you're saying, it does some damage to your confidence, I think, in my opinion. But there is, trust me, there's drivers that have done that in the past where they've had them put on the steering wheel and it tells whether they turn left or right, but it's just added stuff that you don't need on the car usually, more weight and more stuff that you don't need.
Wow, leave it to the host to ask a good question every once in a while. How about that? Now, this last question by Mike Race Guitar was like a trust-your-gut kind of question, but unfortunately, he did not trust his gut and emailed me that he felt that the first question was convoluted and these two guys named Ron and he didn't know, so he called in a second one. I kind of want to play it just to see what his second attempt was. You cool with that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Here, this is the second one because the first one he felt was too confusing.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Ron. It's Mike, Race Guitar in Montreal. Listen, here's my question. Ron, what stresses you out more, going into Q4, not in the show, or going into a final round?
More simplistic.
Napa Racing rocks. WFO rules. Support your local track. Thanks, guys.
There you go. See, we give you multiple shots if you can't nail it the first time.
He cracks me up.
Yeah.
For sure, more stress not being in the show going into Q4, without a doubt. If you've gotten to the final round, it's icing on the cake. You've gone that far, and you don't want to let anybody down. I mean, you might as well win. I mean, you know what I mean? It's there's pressure there for the final round, but it's a different kind of pressure. It's an enthusiastic, let's get it on, we're going to win this thing. Going into Q4, not in the show, you start hearing things in the car on the burnout. You start really stressing out about the smallest little things, and that's not a position to be in. That is probably one of the worst positions any driver will tell you in drag racing, is not in the show, especially with a big sponsored car, because as you know, we got no provisionals and no guarantees.
Which question was better?
Man, I like the first one.
Yeah, me too. Trust your gut. That's the lesson out of that. Trust your gut. First question was better. All right, this next one from Nathan in Kentucky, I think is going to be the toughest one for you to answer. I'm interested to see how you respond. Here we go. Nathan in Kentucky.
Hey, this is Nathan from Central Kentucky. Question for Ron Kapp. Next week, if I was to take you to dinner 5 days and you had 5 people to bring with you from the track, who are 5 personalities you'd want me to meet, whether it was officials, crew chiefs, whatever? Also, 2 years ago, you stopped in the Bristol pit, or in the Bristol campgrounds, and posed with a picture for my son in his Napa shirt and his Tractor's truck. Thank you for the time, and WFO, Joe.
Thank you, Nathan. 5 personalities you think that would be interesting or imperative for him to meet, that because they're so cool and colorful, I would imagine.
Wow.
Tough.
Man, I wish you would have let me know ahead of time. I could have made a good list.
I thought about sending you that question in advance. I really did, to give you
time to
prepare.
It's good. I can throw some off the top of my head, I think. I don't want anybody to get hurt that I didn't pick their name, but off the top of my head, 5 people that would make an entertaining dinner. I would say, for sure, Connie Coletta. That's got to be one of the top ones. He's entertaining. Boy, let me go down the list here. Gosh. You probably should go to dinner with Force, because it won't be boring. Reinhardt, I think.
You just made his day.
Yeah, he's fun. We've got a lot of good times together, and he's never a dull moment. That's 3. All right, Joe, I'm digging now.
No, that's fine. Listen, just so you know, we can edit out any long periods of dead air.
All right. You know, I'd have to go. I love Alan Johnson, Pro Stock Alan Johnson. He's a lot of fun. We've gotten to be good friends, and another guy that would make dinner that much more enjoyable. And last one.
This is a tough spot. I
got to go with Tobler. He picks the best wine, without a doubt, when you're at dinner. He will not pick a bad bottle of wine. And he's got some great, great stories of over his past that even as long as we work together, I still sometimes can't believe that I'm hearing a story that I've only read about. And it's, you know, that's what makes it great. So I'm going with that 5. How's that 5?
Connie Coletta, John Force, Alan Reinhardt, Alan Johnson Pro Stock, and Ron Tobler are the 5 that Ron Kapps thinks would be an interesting dinner. Plus, of course, Ron will be there. I like it. I can't edit that, you know. I think that's pretty good. That's a good list. Good question, too. That's exactly what I'm looking for, the probing, invasive questions about. That's what the WFO audience is all about. All right, next one. This one coming from Craig in Seattle.
Hey, guys. Craig from Seattle here. My question for Ron Kapps is, Ron, I need to tell you right off the bat that I am a Robert Hyatt fan, but I wanted to let you know, and I don't know if you realize this, a lot of us out here are really rooting for you to win that championship. And I know your career, your great career, is not defined by winning a championship. But can you sense that? Can you feel how many of us drag racing fans really want you to win the championship? Because there's a lot of us out here, especially up here in the Pacific Northwest, that want you to win the championship. And we're all pulling for you. So I hope you can get it done this year. And that's all I have to say. Have a safe rest of the year and lots of wins to you. WFO.
Says Craig in Seattle.
Nice. Yeah, I got to tell you, man, I feel more pressure, believe it or not. Because, yeah, of course I hope I win a championship. But if you look around the guys that haven't won, some of my biggest drag racing heroes, it doesn't change things. And we've been there enough that we should be able to win a championship, and we got a good enough team. But the fans, man, Joe, it's crazy. Everybody I run into or talk to on the phone or run, you know, I guarantee where I'm going downstairs to this autograph thing, and I'm going to have so many people say the same thing. They're all wishing me to win a championship. And even the last couple of years when Jack Beckman and I battled a few years ago or a couple of years ago, just waking up Sunday morning, everywhere I walked around, having people say, "Hey, man, we're pulling for you. Hope you win a championship." When we finally do, it's going to be just a big relief. You know, it's just I feel so much love from everybody that you know, that hoping we'll win a championship. That it's cool. It's great. It's what makes our fans so cool. I mean, it's when you get people wanting to win, for you to win something as bad or more than you do. That's real fans. You know what I mean? So. Yeah, we'll see what happens, but I do get that pressure from the fans a lot.
I can imagine just whatever the words are, to hear them over and over and over again, though, everywhere you go, must be difficult to deal with.
Yeah, it is, and you know, there was we did the fan fest in front of the New York this last Vegas race, and I had this fan, I think he's from Australia. But we sort of got in. It turned into this little argument out of the blue. He started off by saying, you know, he's hoping I'm going to win a championship. And he wouldn't stop. He just kept going and going. He might be listening. And I had Hagen was sitting next to me. I think Tony Schumacher was on the other side. And he kept going. And he said, I've got this, I've built up some sort of a reputation for second place. And I looked up and I said, reputation? What do you mean reputation for second place? And then I could tell he either maybe had some cocktails, I don't know. But he eventually went back around. He had to apologize to me over, which he didn't need to do, but he just got going on it and got mad at me for being second place so many times. So that's the passion of our fans. And I told him, I don't apologize, man. I love the passion that people have. And like your caller just asked, he's a Robert Height fan. I love that they stick with who they're cheering for. You know, it's like me and my football teams, or you and your football or baseball or basketball teams. You can like somebody else, but, man, keep the passion for the driver you want to win. And that's what's great about our NHRA fans.
Isn't that the truth? And that's why the dramatic moments that we like to talk about and build up, they are rooted in the personalities and the people who are participating. If we didn't care, then it wouldn't be a big deal. We care. It's a big deal. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. You are the points leader. Good place to be. Next question from Brian in Louisiana.
Hey, Joe. It's Brian in Louisiana. I got a couple questions for Ron Capps. First question is, Ron, you seem like you're the busiest guy on Twitter, always going to appearances. Is that true? And secondly, do you do your own tweets? And my last question is, what kind of motorhome are you driving? WFO.
Says Brian.
Nice. Yeah, I do my own tweets. We, Leah, that we have a public relation department at Schumacher's, and there's three people working in there that that kind of help out with everything with all us drivers. But I do all my tweets, and what was I going to say? Yeah, the appearances? Yeah, to answer his question, I can't make all that up. It's I would put my schedule and my appearances and what I do for my sponsor, Napa Auto Parts, I would put that up against anybody's itinerary for a season and during the off season. It's not for the weak if you like traveling and all, and I miss a lot of family stuff, but it's part of taking care of Napa. So, yeah, a lot of traveling. And the motorhome I drive is a Monaco Executive.
Excellent. So you do not have a clone then?
No.
You have not been
I've been working on that.
No body double.
I do have an evil twin brother that shows up once in a while. He's always in Brainerd when qualifying's over on Friday and Saturday night out in the zoo, I hear.
Yeah. I've heard of that
guy. They say he looks just like me, but,
Separated at
birth. Those evil twin brothers, they do stuff sometimes.
No, I know, but occasionally they come in handy every now and again. All right, next question. This one coming from Mark. Another good question about your career.
Hi, this is for Ron Capps. That's Mark Berkeley from Grand Junction, Colorado. I would like to ask, besides Ron Tobler, who is his best crew chief, and what is his favorite track to race on? Of course he's going to tell you guys, but, you know. Hey, WFO.
Says Mark.
Nice. Man, Joe, you got some great callers, man. I can't pick a crew chief. That's so weird. I get asked that so many times, and they're just different. I don't know how to compare it. It's like trying to pick something that you love, but there's a lot of different variations of it. I mean, Ed McCulloch was one of my earliest guys that helped me when he was working for Coletta and just retired from driving, and he was test driving for Coletta and his crew chief, and I was a rookie in Top Fuel. I went to him for advice well before he was ever my crew chief in a funny car, and we later got hooked together at Dom Perdomo's and then at Schumacher's, and I won a lot of races with Ace, and he taught me a lot of things on and off the racetrack that I hold dearly. Tim Richards, getting to work for a legend like Tim Richards that little amount of time. And, of course, Roland Leong, one of my first crew chiefs. My very first crew chief was Tom Anderson, who was Al Hoffman's. He passed away last year, but he was Al Hoffman's crew chief for years. That was my first funny car crew chief. Terry Manzer was my crew chief with Roger Prims in the Top Fuel car. I've had Todd Okahara one time on one of my funny cars. Dale Armstrong at one time at Dom Perdomo's. But Roland Leong was one of my first funny car guys. And, you know, I start talking, going down the list. I love working with Ron Tober right now. We've won a lot of races, maybe more, I think, than any other crew chief. And I'm enjoying my life right now, my racing life with Ron Tober. It's a lot of fun. But every time I see one of these other guys, it's great to see them and knowing that I got to work with them in the past.
Excellent dodge right there. That was good.
Yeah, I bet. I'm going to run for mayor.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got it down. Now, tough, which one of your children is your favorite? Like, that's a tough question to answer, especially when there have been good times.
And they're so different. They've done things so different when I worked with them. That's the thing. You know, it's like a cook. They just approach things so differently. That's what makes it so cool. I've been able to kind of take a little bit from each one, and that the way I am at the racetrack, the way I interact with the fans, the way I drive the race car, the way that I handle my sponsors, I've taken a little bit of those great, great crew chiefs, Hall of Fame crew chiefs, all those names I just mentioned, and I have a piece of them in me that I, you know, without a doubt, I would tell you that I've learned so much from each one of those, and that's the great part.
And down the stretch they come. Two questions remaining for Ron Capps. Ron, did you watch the Derby?
Yeah, just right when it started. I can't watch that much.
Well, it's the fact, 2 minutes. That's all you're supposed to watch.
I know.
That's it. It's on, Derby, off. Then you're done. All right, next one coming from the Jay Seelig.
Hi, good morning from Southern California. This is DJ Seelig calling in a question for Ron Cap. Talking about some psychological things that you're dealing with while you're up there driving. Let's say, for instance, you're all set to go and ready to go. You're buckled in, and then all of a sudden there's a rain delay happens that seems to go on for a while, but then you have to start the routine all over again. What is that like for as a driver to have to go through the psychological routine of getting ready for a run, then stopping for a long delay, and then having to go back and then do it all over again? Thanks so much, and a big WFO. Thank you.
Says the Jay Seelig.
Yeah, that's tough. Every driver's different, and I was much, much worse at it when I was a rookie and earlier in my career. Way worse at it because I let it kind of run the way that I, you know, you can't control the weather, and eventually I learned that, and learn to kind of control my emotions. But yeah, it's just a great part about our sport is you win, you got to stand around for an hour and a half and wait, and then you get back up there and you're in the next round. You have to learn to control that and kind of use it as an advantage. And early in my career, man, I would get in the car, get all pumped up. There'd be an oil down or a rain out, you know, or start sprinkling, and then you have to get out and get back in. And I wasn't so good at it when I was a rookie or the first few years. But, again, back to the first question, or even that last question, it's being around these older crew chiefs and owners that I've been around were able to kind of give me that talk, you know, that how to control yourself, how to relax and approach it differently.
Final question for Ron Capps. This one coming from devoted WFO radio listener Bobby Graham down in the Bayou.
Good evening, Joe, Gio, and welcome to the show, Ron. My question is that we'll get your adrenaline up to number 11, the nostalgia, the funny car, or the Pennywise concert. Just wanted to know. Good luck, Ron. Talk to y'all later. This is Bobby Graham.
Says Bobby Graham down in the Bayou.
Bobby Graham.
You said it right. Good job.
Thank you. All three of those. Again, they're different. Pennywise, one of our good friends, but a great live show to see if you're into that kind of rock and roll. What I love about what I get to do is I get to go drive these nostalgic cars quarter mile, you know, March meet and some of these hot rod reunions and some of these other events we do, and it's so cool. I love driving them. I've told you many times. It's just the lack of downforce, the having to shift, having to. No computer on the car sometimes and having to really give feedback. It just takes you back to the early days of drag racing. And there's nothing like half-track burnouts and no side windows in the funny car bodies and old-school-looking cars to get your adrenaline going. And I've said this before, there's nothing on the planet like the funny cars we drive now. Nothing that will, you know, catapult you 0 to 320 miles an hour in 4 seconds or less. We don't get to enjoy the actual run because it's so intense and you're just fighting really for your life to keep this thing straight and do everything right for all the guys standing at the starting line watching their car run that spend all that time, that you don't get to enjoy it until the chutes are out a lot of times. Whereas in a nostalgic car, you got a little more time. It's a 5-second run. You shift and you kind of enjoy it. Our cars, again, there's nothing adrenaline-wise other than probably a Thunderbird's fighter pilot. There's nothing on the planet that will give you more adrenaline rush than what we do.
Wow, that is awesome, and it's good to hear that the big show product that is on the big stage, that is on TV, still gives you that kind of feeling and experience. That's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, and it's funny. You know, you get out, and we do the interviews at the other end, and we're so out of breath, even guys that are in great shape are out of breath. And it's just that adrenaline, that out of control, that on the edge that you just can't get with anything else.
Isn't that the truth? Ron, you have run the gauntlet. You have made it through. You have successfully passed the test of the WFO radio listener.
Whew. Man, I'm so relieved.
Really?
That was awesome.
You weren't.
That was a lot of pressure, Joe.
No way. Well, come on.
It's been building for a week.
That's true, and we did push out there for people, and inevitably now that they have heard some of the questions, if we do this again in the future, which hopefully we will, they will become a level more in-depth and harder. But I think that they came through with some really good stuff. Like, I learned a lot.
Well, good. That's really good. No, you got – that's another great thing. You got great fans that ask really good questions. Not just racing questions, but really, really good stuff, you know. Stuff that I would love to know about another driver. You know, there's a lot of drivers I know pretty well at the track, but I would love to know some of the stuff your drivers asked or your callers asked me. And even though I might know some of those guys, I don't know what they do when they're home sometimes, and I don't know what music they like and what they think about certain crew chiefs. So, yeah, great questions by all the listeners.
Good job. Good job, everybody. Way to go. Congratulations, and thank you for participating. Now, Ron, you're out there in Vegas, baby. I can think of worse places to
be. Vegas, baby. Vegas!
Is that your studio audience?
That is. That's
Vegas, baby, Vegas.
Yeah, you know,
nice.
From Swingers,
nice.
Man. It's like the city of lights, city of magic, the most beautiful place in the world for at least the first, you know, 36 hours.
Yeah, it's going to be. I've got the Napa Expo stuff up until Thursday night, and then I'm flying. My wife and some friends are coming over, and we're going to see a band I loved called Local H from Chicago that are playing a small club here Friday night, and then Saturday night, Metallica. We're going to see my buddy James and Metallica play the Rockin' in Rio USA festival that they built this little city right here in Vegas. They're having a festival with Linkin Park and No Doubt and a whole bunch of bands, and they're headlining Saturday night. So it's a Mother's Day present for my wife, who loves James and loves Metallica, and we're going to have a good time and then fly home on Mother's Day.
That is awesome, and then a week later, we will see each other in the ATL, the Dirty, down there in GA, and hopefully get one in the appropriately scheduled amount of time. Hopefully we can do that.
That would be nice, Joe. Don't even say the R word.
Yeah, no.
But looking forward to that race. That's Napa headquarters for me, so that's a big race for our team, and we get all the suits that come out. So it's our time to try to show off, and looking forward to it.
Ron, thank you very much for submitting to this torture from the WFO audience, but I think it sounded great. Congratulations. I really appreciate it. This was great. Over and above the call of duty, and you did an excellent job. Thank you so much. Enjoy your time in Vegas.
Thanks, Joe.
Well, there he goes. Ron Capps with us here on WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. I encourage you to subscribe to the show on iTunes or on our website. Download the free mobile application. You can listen on SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, the iHeartRadio Race Day Nation app. A million ways to listen, to hear stuff just like that. Ron Capps, awesome. WFO Radio audience, awesome. You guys did a great job with the questions, and I greatly appreciate it. And throughout the week, we were sending out push notifications. I know a lot of our listeners, they get shy. They don't know what to do. The next time that we do questions for a driver, it can't be the same group of people. It's got to be a whole new group. So we'll send out the notifications. Who knows who it will be, if they will agree to do the questions. But I think that was awesome, and I greatly thank Ron Capps, Don Schumacher Racing, and Napa Auto Parts for making him available. It was great. And oh, by the way, it sounded like he listened to the show last week, Eric Lane. That's tremendous, too. Very happy, excited, and proud of that. And only lamenting the fact that I'm not in Vegas. Man, it sounds like a good time. The whole world is going to be there. Dale Jr., John Force, Tony Stewart, No Doubt, Metallica. Like, the whole world is going to be there. Sounds fun. All right, we got more fun to come here on WFO Radio. We have got J.R. Todd. We have got Rick Green, and we have got Brian Greer. Brian Greer, son of Cheryl Greer, funny car legend, the first funny car champion with the new modern era points, 1974, voted number one finals moment in history by the NHRA fans out there, Cheryl Greer. His son, Brian Greer, was down at the induction into the Drag Racing Hall of Fame in Ocala, Florida, the International Drag Racing Hall of Fame. We have been trying to get together since then, and haven't been able to do it this week. We were able to put it together. Awesome. You're going to love that. Rick Green, a guy who is responsible for a lot of the drag racing results that you probably read. He does a lot of work behind the scenes, is a great guy, very knowledgeable drag racer, and we're going to talk to Rick about the websites he creates content for, what he is doing, how he got involved. And it's a behind-the-scenes look. This show is supposed to be a behind-the-scenes look at the sport of drag racing. We're going to go behind the scenes with Rick Green on this show. So stick around, but coming up next, J.R. Todd. First, I want to tell you about Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. These guys, they all have this passion. They all have this desire. They want to drive. Why? Well, it's fun. Simple as that. You heard Ron talking about it. It's a fun, thrilling, exciting feeling that you can have for yourself. Go get out the envelope. You know the Frank Hawley envelope that we ask you to stuff every couple of weeks with whatever you have extra sitting around in the couches, in the car seats, in the cup holder, in the wallet. Got an extra 5, a 10, a 20? Because at some point, you will have acquired enough money to go through the Dragster Adventure course that travels around the country with Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Courses start at $399. You get multiple runs down the racetrack. They even offer side-by-side racing. You can accelerate from 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. You can reach speeds of 130 miles per hour in the quarter mile, and you're driving. No, it's not a ride-along. No, you're not with some professional driver. No, you're not hanging on. You are controlling it. You receive instructions from Frank Hawley on how to stage and how to drive and how to mash the gas and how to slow down and make the turnoff, and then you do it again. It is a great program. It would be a bargain at twice the price, $399, but I also understand that it takes a little time. And that's why we encourage you to stuff that Frank Hawley Dragster Adventure envelope. And then when you're ready, dial 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. And they'll break it up into four easy payments for you. And then suddenly you will know and understand why these drivers that we talk to on a weekly basis have this desire, this passion, this they got to get up at 6 a.m. to get out there and race. Why? Because it's such a great experience. You will absolutely love it. May 15th, Royal Purple Raceway. June 12th, Bandimir Speedway. June 19th, Gateway Motorsports Park. July 23rd, Summit Motorsports Park, Norwalk, Ohio, the 23rd and 24th. August 26th and 27th, Maple Grove. In October, headed back to Fontana, California for a couple of weeks. Go to frankhawley.com, check out the Dragster Adventure, and when you book it, tell them you heard it on WFO Radio.
Hey, this is Ron Capps, and you're listening to WFO.
Hey, race fans. First, you need to know I'm not an attorney at Spiegel & Utrera, PA. Spiegel & Utrera, PA's General Counsel Club can assist you with tough legal and business questions at crucial times. And right now, from New York City to Los Angeles, Chicago to Miami, and points in between, WFO Radio listeners can receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera, PA General Counsel Club. They can assist with trademarks and copyrights, how to convert hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses, how to buy or sell a business, contracts and legal documents. Click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad right on the front page of WFO Radio, enter your email address, and receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. And remember, knowledge is power.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials, known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the streets. That's Redline Oil.
The stars of drag racing, WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Joining us now, Antron Brown. Now, you told me on Thursday you got the WFO Radio app. I did not know that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You got to have the WFO app, brother, so you can keep up. For people that just are a fan of the sport, all they got to do is throw on WFO if they miss a race, because you get to hear the side-by-side blows from the winners, everybody that was there. You got Al Reinhart on, and you do a great job. You know, I mean, you put out all the different perspectives of NHRA racing. I told you, not only am I just a professional racer in NHRA racing, I'm a fan of the sport, and I love it. And if you're a true fan, you got to have the WFO app.
For more with the stars of drag racing, download the WFO Radio app. Available in the App Store or Android Market. Motorsports entertainment, full interviews with weekly winners, videos, push notifications, and more. Download it now. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
This show is just going to get better and better. If you're a first-time listener and an NHRA fan, you have got to subscribe to WFO Radio. Download the app. Follow us on Stitcher or TuneIn or the iHeartRadio Race Day Nation channel or just iTunes, however you want to do it. But we have great interviews every week, even when there's no racing. Caps is answering your questions. How cool is that? But we've got something else very poignant, like up to the minute, a big announcement coming out of Coletta Motorsports about a new sponsor. Here to talk about it, driver of the dragster that will be sponsored, that's currently sponsored by Redline Synthetic Oil, who sends us to the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals each year, J.R. Todd with us. J.R., welcome back to WFO.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having me on again.
I'm happy to have you back. You have, watching your life over the last year and a half has been pretty cool, going from getting a great opportunity to number two in the world to now an opportunity to race a full season with Coletta Motorsports. It's cool watching. It's got to be cool being in the car.
Yeah, absolutely. Living my life the last year and a half has been pretty cool. You know, being with this Team Coletta group, it's been a dream come true. Conrad, that was definitely a life-changing deal for me, and I definitely haven't looked back since. I mean, there's been a lot of great things that's happened since then, and everything's been on the up and just keeps getting better.
Number two on the wing, too. It's funny how that happened. Even in doing research, it's like, wow, man, that's a big deal. Everybody wants to be number one, of course, but only one guy or girl can be number one, and if you can't be that person, number two, next best.
Yeah, I mean, of course you always want to be number one, but it seems like once you get down to the point to where, you know, number one's locked up, it's like there's nine other guys battling for that number two spot. That's almost like the number one up for grabs. So it's cool to represent a, you know, second place finisher last year, but we definitely want that ultimate prize to put that number one on the side. But it's not going to be easy with, you know, guys like our teammate Doug Coletta, you know, the reigning champ Schumacher. All those DSR cars are tough, and never count out Sean Langdon and a handful of other cars out there. Just to half of these fields is a chore nowadays, and it seems like it doesn't even matter if you qualified in the top half. I mean, we qualified number six, I think it was, in Houston, and got loaded up first round on a hole shot by Steve Torrence. So it just shows how tough and how tight the fields are nowadays, and it's definitely going to be a battle all the way down to Pomona for 2016. But first off, you just got to make it in that countdown. That's going to be a battle on its own.
Spoke with Jimmo in the winner's circle in an interview that I just absolutely love. I'm always trying to ask the right question that gets the answer, that makes the casual fan become a hardcore fan, that makes them say, you know, I occasionally watch this stuff, but now I want to dig deeper and get to know these people because I know something. And Jimmo gave me some great stuff in the winner's circle. What he went into detail about was how similar your car and Doug's car is, and how hard you guys have worked to make it like this team atmosphere where there's two cars and they're as close as possible and you can share information, and James Riola and himself are working together to make both cars fast, great, and then obviously let you do your thing. Tell me about how that work has happened and what you're seeing as someone who is getting in the car.
Yeah, I mean, since I've come on, you know, last year in April up to this point, I mean, the cars, they've been similar, but not to where we could run them, you know, just like one another. And now we've got them set up where they're pretty much identical. And it definitely pays off because we made a great run Q4 in Houston, which I think was second low of the round. And Jimmo came over before the final round and got the notes from that run and plugged them into Dougie's car. And sure enough, they went out there and ran pretty much the same thing in the final round. So that just shows how close the cars are and how they can benefit each other, which that's what it's all about. You know, Conrad, he's built a great team with the four cars we have over there, and it's more like a family than a team, and that's what it's all about, you know, helping one another get those Wallys at the end of the day. So whether it's Dougie or myself or Dell or Alexis, I mean, we're doing whatever it takes to get those cars on the winner's circle.
Now, you have a big sponsor announcement for later in the year. Anytime a company or corporation decides to invest in the sport of drag racing, it's a big deal. It's a huge investment, but there's also a big return. The fans then are made aware of the company. You have a sponsor announcement today, Mad Creative Concepts, doing a contest, doing a bunch of things involving your team. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's cool that a sponsor comes along. When any time they get the fans to interact with them, it creates a lot of attention and makes it exciting for the fans to get involved. Mad Creative Concepts, they do all of our vinyl signage for the team. They wrap both dragsters, which when you came and tell they're wrapped from the stands or on TV or even up close, they look like paint. But they do a great job and have some great designs. And they're doing a steal for the Chicago event, and I've seen the design for our car, and it's pretty bitchin' looking. I'm not going to give it away. I'll keep that a surprise for the fans, but the fans get to vote on what our crew shirts are going to look like for that event. So they can go to teamcoletta.com/contest and go on there, and there's two shirts to pick from, and whichever shirt gets the most votes is what we'll wear that weekend. I think fans going to enter their email address as well, and one lucky fan's going to win a crew shirt as well.
Wow. All right, I'm about to vote. Do you have a preference? are you trying to get one? Because I don't know. I think I like the second one.
I'm not too picky. You know, I think they both look pretty cool, and I'll be happy to represent Matt any way I can. I mean, they, like I said, they do a great job. They've been a supporter of Coletta's for a long time now, and it's cool to show them off at the race in Chicago.
That is very cool. And the wraps in general have gotten just crazy. You mentioned paint, and of course there was a lot of time and effort that had to be put into these new paint schemes years ago. And they are amazing. Anytime you get near paint, it's shiny, it's got depth, but they are doing unreal things with the wrap technology. They make them look like paint.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm telling you, wait till you see this wrap for the Chicago race. It's pretty crazy looking. And the thing is, nowadays, we're changing up the design of the cars. When I say the design, the graphic scheme, throughout the year, maybe 3 or 4 different times. So that'd be extremely expensive and tough to do with paint. So now with these carbon fiber bodies, we just wrap them in vinyl. It's really lightweight, and then we can change it too. So it's definitely a cost-effective way of racing, and keeps it exciting for the fans when we change up the graphic scheme like that.
What about Redline Synthetic Oil? Them coming on early this year. Cameron at Redline has been a big help to WFO Radio over the years. You're getting us to the U.S. Nationals and sponsoring the show throughout. The car looks awesome. Like, the logo needs to be as big as possible, and you're certainly giving them the platform.
Absolutely. Cameron and Redline, they've been a big-time, long-time supporter of the Coletta Group, and they're with their company, Phillips 66, they're working on, some deals with, Coletta Air, kind of a B2B deal there. So, that's where the primary sponsorship comes into play with us and Redline. And that's definitely going to be on there a handful of races this year. And between them and Mag Creative, I'm sure we'll have a couple other schemes that we're going to run, throughout the season as well. So it's definitely exciting. And, we're still looking to lock down, a solid primary to run all events, whether it's Redline Oil or whoever it may be. But I like that we keep changing it up. I mean, I know it's exciting for the fans, but as long as we got somebody on there to represent, it's all good. So it's good to have great supporters like Mac Tools and Redline Oil and Seal Master and Technico. They've been with Coletta forever, and you'll see them on my car in a big presence for sure.
We did a Q&A in the Top Eliminator Club at Royal Purple Raceway, and it was you, it was Erica, it was Spencer, and it was Matt. And we had a good crowd in there because it was raining, and at first they didn't have questions, but then they warmed up, kind of like the WFO audience. They don't have questions at first, and then they warm up. The way it always works. But you had a really cool moment, kind of caught me in a situation. We were talking about the downside, things break, things blow up, and I'm like asking you about that moment, and you laid it out in a very cool way, just about your attitude as a driver, that you're never thinking about anything negative, like what if I red light, or what if this thing breaks, or what if something happens, or what if we spin the tire. You are thinking positive things. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I mean, myself, I don't like to go out there and try and think about those things. I mean, I don't know that any driver does, because I feel that if you go out there worried about, I need to really hit the tree against this guy, or there's a chance it's going to smoke the tires and I got to pedal it, or this thing's going to blow up, whatever. I mean, those are all things that you just got to react to, not go up there and think about, because if you think negative, something negative is going to happen. To where I try to go up there and do the same thing every time. Get a good reaction time, keep the thing straight in the groove, because it's so crucial nowadays that the competition is so tight that you got to keep that thing in the groove, get down there as quick as possible, and put up a good ET, or else if you get outside the groove and spin the tires, you might, cost yourself a couple hundreds or so, and that's going to affect your qualifying time. So I just try to go up there and do the same thing, be competitive, and like I said, I'm more worried about that thing hauling ass from the starting line to the finish line than all the bad things that can happen in between there.
It is incredible what you guys do. I think maybe we're all desensitized, the whole world, to the fact that these guys and girls like yourself are strapping into this machine. It's built of metal, and you're going out there and accelerating 0 to 300-plus miles per hour in less than 4 seconds. Who does that? Some of these other extreme sports, so to speak, and these guys are putting on flight suits, and they're flying by caves and crazy stuff. But they're not getting 300 miles per hour, JR. Nobody is going 300 miles per hour.
No, that is for sure. And that when I was a kid, watching top fuel cars, that was always my dream, to grow up going 300 miles an hour. And I was lucky enough to get my first chance driving a top fuel car like a week after I graduated high school, and later that summer made my first 300 mile an hour run at Epping, New Hampshire, the IHRA event. So the things have gotten a lot faster and quicker since then, and I'm still just kind of in awe that I get to do this for a living. I mean, it's been a dream come true. To me, the coolest stat about driving a top fuel car is how quick they accelerate. I mean, you see stats on a high performance sports car, how to go 0 to 60 or 0 to 100 and 4 point whatever seconds, to where a top fuel car, they'll go 0 to 100 in 60 feet. I mean, that's how hard they accelerate. And I'd compare that to maybe driving a rocket.
That is my favorite stat too. When I am trying to talk to a newbie and I really want to blow their mind with something, that's the one that I go with, because it just doesn't seem possible that anything can accelerate that quickly. Anything as big as a top fuel dragster can accelerate through the wheels that quickly, and it is incredible. All right, one final question or two, perhaps. Working with Connie Coletta, guy's a legend. Clearly he's a legend of the drag strip and also of the business world and flight, all of that. What's it like, and what do you take from that? That's part one of my final question. What do you take out of the ability to work with Connie?
It's definitely a privilege and a dream to be working with a legend like Connie. I mean, he's so passionate about the sport. I mean, he has his aviation business to support his drag racing business. I mean, and both have grown, so big over the years. It's crazy, what he's done it for both sides. I mean, you ask anybody in aviation, they know who Connie Coletta is. And for sure, anybody in drag racing knows who he is. And he's definitely done a great job assembling the car that he has on the drag racing side with Jimmo. I mean, he pretty much runs the show over there between the four teams. I think we have over 60 employees for the drag racing side, and things, they're just growing leaps and bounds over there. I mean, we're doing a lot of things in-house. I mean, the dragster that we're running on the Redline Oil side, that's the first in-house car, and there's going to be many more to come. So I'm just glad to feel honored that, I got the call from the man himself last year to come drive, his personal top fuel car. So that's it's still kind of surreal to me.
And part two, your dad. I've been fortunate enough to have some conversations with him on the starting line, and if he's not at all of the races, he's at most of them to watch you go down the racetrack, and I think that is so cool. Talk about him a little bit, helping you get here. And this guy loves lollipops. He is a lollipop guy. I can relate, but I mean, he has always got a lollipop going. How does that work?
I think the whole lollipop thing is kind of a nervous deal. I don't know if that helps him calm his nerves when I'm racing or what it is, but yeah, I don't know where that came from. I just kind of noticed it when I started driving the top fuel cars. He never did it, but yeah, him and my mom, they've been my biggest supporters from day one. I mean, they got me a junior dragster when I was 10 years old, and you know, they sacrificed a lot to take me to the races and to keep me racing. And you know, like I said, they've been there from day one, and they've been 100% in my corner, whether I've wanted to pursue my dream or quit. I mean, they've definitely been on my side. And everybody asks, you know, if my mom comes to the races, because they always see my dad on TV. I'm like, yeah, she's there. She just doesn't go looking for the TV camera like my dad does. But it's cool to have them at the track, and they have a great time. And you know, if they weren't at every race, you know, I think I'd be kind of lost without asking, you know, where they're at, because they're definitely a good time to have around.
And of course, this weekend being Mother's Day, so we in drag racing, I guess racing cars and stuff, we tend to think of the dads first, and I can understand that. But without the moms out there, the dads and the kids wouldn't be at the track as much as they are, without a doubt.
That is for sure. I mean, my mom, she does a lot for me. I just bought a new condo here in Indianapolis and had it remodeled, and my mom, she came up and did all kinds of painting and help with the remodeling. So she, I would be lost without her for sure. And I kind of feel bad because I'm not going to be home this Sunday on Mother's Day. I'm actually going on the vacation. I leave Sunday morning to go on vacation with a bunch of circle track racers for a few days. So that should be a good time.
Are you going to drive?
We're actually going to the Bahamas. I don't know if they have any racetracks over there on the islands. But, no, it's a couple of my USAC sprint car buddies, Chris Windham and Brady Bacon. He won the sprint car championship last year, and Kyle Larson. So it should be a good time.
The chicks love Brady Bacon. I know that. They show up with the signs, and obviously Kyle Larson has worked on a pretty darn crew. That's like a little rat pack of great racers, you guys hanging out in the Bahamas. Sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. JR, thanks for coming on WFO Radio, everybody. TeamColletta.com/contest. You can vote on which Mad Creative Concept crew shirt JR's crew will be wearing in Chicago later this year. JR, have fun on your vacation. I'll see you in Atlanta, and thanks for coming on WFO.
Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you, JR. JR Todd with us here on WFO Radio. And they've got something for you to vote on. Check it out. Vote on the crew member shirts. And that's going to be kind of cool out there in Chicago. Something to look forward to, seeing that wrap on that machine. We've got more to come. We've got Brian Greer, son of Cheryl Greer, in an interview that I think you're going to love. That's the one that I'm going to get the most emails about, I think. Just a prediction. And Rick Green coming up next. President of the Fast News Network. You're out there on the web. You're searching for results. You're getting results. Who made the results? We're bringing you behind the scenes in the personalities of the NHRA Mellow Yellow and Lucas Oil Drag Racing Series. Stick around. A couple things I want to tell you about. First and foremost, it has been mentioned to me that in the local area of Topeka, Kansas, there might be a little confusion as to whether or not the Kansas Nationals are going down at Heartland Park, Topeka. And the answer is, yes, they are. So if you're in that area, the Heartland, Heartland Park, Topeka, May 22nd through 24th, it's going down, baby. It's happening. It's on. The Kansas Nationals, Memorial Day weekend. You're out there. You're enjoying nitro drag racing 300 miles per hour on Memorial Day. Pass the word to your friends and family members and get it on. You're out there. Stand on top of a building with a bugle. Get a sandwich board. Walk the streets with your sandwich board. I just like saying sandwich board. Who wears those? And the answer is people. People wear sandwich boards to get out their information. Kind of a primitive way to get the word out. And yet, it works. It was the mainstay of advertising for like hundreds of years, the sandwich board. I bet you there's a lot of kids out there who have no idea what a sandwich board even is. Kansas Nationals, May 22nd through 24th, happening at Heartland Park, Topeka. There you go. All right, we got more to come. Rick Green, Brian Greer, I've got a stack of emails from WFO Radio listeners, Joe at WFOradio.com, that I have been pushing off, and I'm going to continue to push it off because this show, let's face it, it is a little too long. It's a little bit too long. You know, if we were doing a radio show and we had a window, an hour on Saturday morning where they stick the motorsports, maybe 2 hours, we could not fit this show. Somebody's content would have had to have been cut off. Like Bobby Graham and the Jay Selig would not have gotten to answer their questions. Or this part could be cut off. One or the other. One thing that we would never, ever cut off is the opportunity to talk about RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Do you barbecue? Do you enjoy coffee? Do you enjoy hot sauce? I know you have to like one of those three. I drink Rodax coffee in the morning. I have the hot sauce whenever I possibly can, on eggs, on wings, on food, pretty much all food, bare piece of bread, on a spoon. I like it that way, on a spoon. And the A26 spice rub and all these different spice rubs. Marvin is a huge drag racing fan that lives in Fort Worth, Texas. Goes out to the Motorplex every year. He's been doing it since 1976, and he brews gourmet coffee. He roasts it fresh per order. They have over 40 single original blends. Now, are you a coffee person? You one of those people? You enjoy coffee? You like it? You're looking for something great, something new, something fresh, something exciting to try? And you also like WFO Radio, this show that happens because of our great sponsors? Pick up the phone and give Marvin a call. 817-924-6821. That's 817-924-6821. He loves to hear from the WFO Radio listeners because he can change your coffee drinking experience from something that is pedestrian and utilitarian and boring. You load up the coffee. Let me get a Sanka. And next thing you know, you're doing, experiencing all kinds of new coffees like the WFO Radio blend or Bang the Blower, or whatever you happen to be doing. I'm sorry to diss the Sanka. It's just a kind of a funny name. 817-924-6821. Been doing it since 1976. Try the hot sauce. Try the spice rub. Try the coffee. The WFO Radio blend and all the exotics. Talk to Marvin. He will hook you up, and be sure to tell him you heard it on WFO. We'll be back with Rick Green, president of the Fast News Network, then Brian Greer, right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Hi, I'm Larry Dixon. You know, there's more to racing than pushing a top fuel dragster down the track at over 325 miles an hour in less than 4 seconds. Like in any business, it takes careful planning and hard work. YourVelocity.com provides the tools and information you need to effectively start, grow, and run a successful business. I'm excited to work with Velocity, not only as a spokesperson, but as a client. So don't spin your wheels. Visit YourVelocity.com today.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better, or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine published by the most passionate of drag racing fans, who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
WFO Radio is 300 miles per hour of fire-burning nitromethane thunder.
If you want to be called the champ, you got to beat me, because we fight for championships. We don't give them away.
WFORadio.com. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Another great show here on WFO Radio, rolling along. Ron Capps answered your questions. Those of you who had a question and didn't ask the question, I don't know what's going on, but we're gonna wear you down. You're going to realize it's easy. You call them in for the winners, and they answer them because they love you. That is how it works. Heard from Capps, J.R. Todd, new sponsor, great stuff. But right now, I love these off weeks where there's no racing. We get a chance to delve even deeper into the sport of NHRA Mellow Yellow and Lucas Oil drag racing and go behind the scenes with some of the people that bring you the sport, and maybe you don't even know it. They need to be known because they are putting in thousands of hours of work to bring you the drag racing coverage that you use. And who are they? Well, joining us now, he is the president of the Fast News Network and provides all kinds of content to DragRaceCentral.com and NHRA.com, as in when you're reading the results, who beat who and how it happened and how they advanced. This is the guy who does it all. Joining us now, president of the Fast News Network, Rick Green. Rick, welcome to WFO.
Thank you, Joe. Glad to be with you tonight.
Your first time on the show. We made it happen.
I've been wondering when I was going to get the pleasure of being with you.
Yeah, I know that sounds kind of funny, but you know, the real answer...
On the show,
okay.
On the show.
All right, thank you. Thank you for clarifying. You know, you say that, and it is absolutely true that I recognize that there are a whole host of people who I need to speak with on this show if it is going to be what I claim it is, an inside look into the sport of drag racing. You fit that bill absolutely. How many events do you go to each year, NHRA Nationals, etc.?
I attend all 24 NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series events myself, along with a contract worker. So we have two reporters at each national event. And then I attend a few miscellaneous events throughout the year also.
So that is a busy drag racing-related schedule. You hit them all. You go to them all.
Yes, all 24.
See, exactly. And when people go to Drag Race Central, and if you're a sportsman racer or you follow sportsman racing, not just in the NHRA, and you're reading results, those results are generated by you.
Yes. Myself and the team from Fast News do those reports.
Wow.
We get the information, have a great working relationship with CompuLink, and we get the data, timing data from them, and then we plug it into our own program that was developed by my partner, Larry Sullivan, and then we type in the little notes about what happened in the race.
Something that drag racing fans use and have been using for many years now, and you know, maybe wondered, like, how does this get there? Is it a computer? Is it voice recognition software? Is it just kind of recording? How does it happen? And the answer is, how does it happen, Rick?
We type it in. We type in what we watch the run and try to analyze what we saw in the few seconds that we got to see it, and then type in without trying to be too opinionated on what did really happen. Just try to stick with the facts, and we go from there.
Now, before we go any further, I always ask first-time guests and anybody that spends a lot of time on the racetrack or out at the track, you know, how did this happen? How did you get connected to this sport in such a way that you're going to all 24 events plus many divisionals, which we'll get into later? What were your original or first experiences involving drag racing?
My father drag raced back in the Midwest in the middle 60s with a front engine dragster and then also a fuel altered at times. And so up until about the age of 7 or 8, I was involved with drag racing that way. And then he stepped out of it, couldn't afford it anymore, I guess you might say. And so then it was just, I was separated from it. And as I grew older, I became interested and became a super fan, I guess you might say. And one of the early days was CompuServe had a forum, motorsports forum, that provided these race results. And so I got involved with that. And that's where Fast News Generated came from, was guys from the CompuServe, when it started to go away, we decided we needed to figure out how to make this keep going and make money at it and make a living at it. And so Ed Dykes was the original president of Fast News Network, put together a deal with Summit Racing Equipment and the NHRA, and he tragically died in an airplane accident. And I inherited the position of president of Fast News Network.
Wow. That is an incredible story. Tragic. I have experienced something similar in my own personal business. It is horrible when you lose someone that you work with, but you guys were able to keep it going.
Yes, it was in its infancy, and Ed was like my best friend, so I didn't only lose a business partner, I lost a best friend, but I've tried to continue the ways of Fast News in his honor and trying to do everything that would make him proud, so, and it has grown since the early days, big time.
You guys were on the cutting edge of the web tech thing, like message boards, you're talking about stuff that have become very popular recently, but you were on the absolute ragged edge. Why were you there? What made you decide that that's where you wanted to be? Was it simply an easy way to connect with drag racing fans from all over the place? It seems that they still really rely on message boards to connect with one another. Even now that there are so many other different ways, the message boards are still smoking in the drag racing world.
Well, the CompuServe forums, message boards, were really pre or right at the beginning of the internet WWW explosion. And so that was a way people could get the information. And then we were, as NHRA.com started to take off, we made a deal with them to provide the same content as the race results from the national events. And then after that, it worked into a deal with Summit Racing Equipment to provide all the content for the website DragRaceCentral.com.
DragRaceCentral.com is a website that I can only imagine all of our listeners have seen, have gone to at some point. But even if they haven't, as fans, the racers are there religiously, because you can get and will get vital information if you're tracking, let's say, a competitor, what they did in a race or what happened. And you guys are in a multiple series. Of course, NHRA is in the top left, but there you're in the Lucas Oil Drag Racing Series. You do IHRA, PDRA, Drag Racing News. You got photos, a lot of content. Summit, of course, one of the huge sponsors out there, because, frankly, they sell a lot of go-fast parts to hot rodders and racers all around the world.
Yes, they're a big supporter of drag racing in a lot of different arenas. Major sponsor in NHRA drag racing, sponsoring 3 national events. They sponsor the Summit ET series that is for the local Summit racer or local bracket racer at the local track, and then have a big ET series in which winners of each division get to travel to Pomona and compete for a national ET title.
Something that I think was really cool. I don't get to go to all the races, mostly center of the country to the east. So I spend the West Coast races just like everybody else watching on ESPN2. And at the conclusion of the SummitRacing.com Nationals, the winners are celebrating and the Wallys are being brought out. And it's like those final shots where, you know, everyone has won and it's a big celebration. And the Grand Marshals of the event come out and present the trophy. And who is the Grand Marshal of the event? Rick Green. And Larry, you guys are there. You got to be the Grand Marshals of the event. And I had to ask Rick, which is one of the reasons we're talking now, is like, hey, are you, you know what, how? And I thought it was a great story. Why don't you explain how that came to be?
Summit Racing Equipment, the title sponsor for that event, gets to choose their Grand Marshal and honorary starter, and they selected Larry Sullivan and myself to do that. And we both were just taken back with such an honor, and we thought that it was the greatest thing. And Summit actually had some concern that we might think no big deal because we go to so many events or anything, but we were both just privileged to be able to do that and represent Summit Racing Equipment, and to think that they think that much of us to be able to represent them in such a manner that I still can't really believe it. I've got the TV show that you watched, I have taped and will keep taped for posterity because I was just honored by the fact.
Oh, I thought it was cool as someone who is a fan of your work to see there. It did confuse me for a second. But when the story was revealed that Summit, so often, like really large companies, they are so focused on growth and getting the job done and getting the parts out and how are we going to market ourselves to get more customers, that things like you're describing, them recognizing the work and effort that you put in, that you do a great job, that you, there's no typos, like little stuff like that, that drag racers are actually using and appreciating it, for them to take that opportunity, I think that's something really special.
They are, and for as big an organization as they are, they are still very family-oriented and appreciate the loyalty of, they sponsor many racers, and the loyalty that the racers have had towards them is returned back with the loyalty from their sponsorship, and it's more of a family kind of relationship versus an employer or employee or a contractee relationship.
Now, this past weekend, you were up in Indianapolis doing coverage for Drag Race Central and NHRA.com doing round by round. It was sponsored, but by something a little different. Alan Reinhart at the start of the show paid tribute to Leo Taher, the longtime Division III announcer. My experience with Leo over the past, I don't know, 5-7 years, maybe even longer, as when I was on satellite radio doing shows, just trying to continue to grow the sport of drag racing, doing my radio shows, would always hang with Alan and Leo. And obviously Leo passed this past year after a long battle with cancer. You guys paid tribute, and as I'm talking to Alan, I bring up Drag Race Central, and there is Leo, and just an awesome classic photo of him, marine, strong, tough, back in the day, old school microphone, old school sunglasses, really captured the moment. Tell me about the tribute to Leo.
Well, Drag Race Central, Fast News, decided as a way to pay tribute to Leo was go and be on site and actually provide the coverage for that drag race. A lot of the division races we don't have sponsorship for, and so we do those at the end of each day. But we decided to go ahead and pay our own way and get up there, and just as a remembrance of Leo, because he was a big fan of Drag Race Central, a big friend of Drag Race Central and all the Fast News guys, and he was the voice of Division III, and so we figured that was a good way to pay tribute to him. And then on Friday night, the Division III director, Jay Hollinger, had set up a memorial in which Bob Fry came in and emceed, and people got up and spoke, and it was just a fantastic event. It's about an hour, had a video at the end, and it was just very touching and very good, and it would have made Leo proud, I'm sure.
That is awesome, and obviously the reason it happened is a sad reason, but the fact that everyone could come together and celebrate Leo's life is a good thing, and I think it is great that you guys went out there and provided the coverage. And folks, you can check out those photos on DragRaceCentral.com. Now, Rick, let's segue to 2015 Mellow Yellow Series. As someone who literally watches every run down the track, every single run, I can't say that even when I'm working as an announcer, there are times where I'm doing other things. You are studying every run that goes down the track so you can properly convey it to the people on the other end of their keyboard with desperation to know the results, and there are thousands. What has been your thought so far of 2015? Clearly, the numbers of different winners and the close racing were just coming out of Houston, where whole shot victories were plentiful. How does this season rank so far to what you've seen in the past?
Well, I think it has to be one of the top in the close racing throughout all three of the top categories. I mean, there's been years when it's the top fuel field has been just close. Anybody could win as long as they qualified. Same with funny car, same with pro stock. But it seems like this year, it's for all three of the top categories. If you can get in the show, you have a shot at winning. And the making the top 10 this year, I think, is going to probably be more difficult than for the countdown to the championship. Going to be more difficult than in the previous years.
Which is great for us fans. As you have seen this sport go by and big names come and go, and clearly the superstars of the 70s and 80s, the Bernsteins, the Prudhommes, the Amatos, those guys, you know, Garlitz and Muldowney, kind of got older and retired, and now we have this new crop. The John Forces are getting to that point, and then we have another wave now. You've got the Courtney Forces and the Leah Pritchett's and the Steve Torrences and the Antron Browns in this next wave. What is your personal impression about the future of the sport with these people carrying the load of stardom and competition?
I think it's going to be just as great, if not better than ever before. It's the big names when Garlitz and Muldowney started going away, I'm sure the people in that era said, well, the sport's going to die. It's never going to live without these two, and things of that nature. And yet we've managed to carry on. And while they're still involved with the sport, they're just not on the drag strip racing. But still, it's the same with the new names. They'll carry on the torch and they'll do just fine, and as long as we continue to have the big sponsors, and I think we'll do great.
I agree completely, and I appreciate you coming on WFO Radio. We've got Mother's Day this weekend, then it's back to Atlanta. And can you do something about the rain in Atlanta, though? It's like 2 years now I've been going to this place, and I haven't seen a finals yet. We haven't done a winner's circle. At least I haven't been there for it. You know, it's a weather situation in Atlanta. We got to get that thing straightened out this year.
Well, I think it's on a different weekend. I'm not positive, but I think it's later or Mother Day's earlier, one of the two, but it's on I think it was in between Mother's Day and Easter last year, so hopefully being a little bit later in the calendar year will help us, but no. Atlanta has seemed to have its issues with rain, but it still provides good racing when we get dry weather. Sometimes it, with the rain, that changes up the qualifying in that it makes it even more intense. If the forecast is for rain, the drivers try to be conservative so they can get a number on the board, but they can't be too conservative so they can get a good enough number to get qualified. So it's an interesting race.
Hey, look at that. This guy's definitely a drag racer with the silver lining. Always looking at the positive. I love it. Rick, thanks for coming on WFO Radio. Folks, you can check out Rick's work on DragRaceCentral.com or NHRA.com as you follow the round by round, something that I use every time we interview a Lucas Oil Series top alcohol racer or even our Mellow Yellow Series racers, and I want to go back and see exactly what happened, how it went down, what went down, and all of these elements that you don't get just by looking at the ladder. They put it down and archive it, and it is very important for people years from now. They'll be able to go back and see how things developed. Rick, it took much too long for me to invite you on the show, but I greatly appreciate you coming on, and thank you for sharing your story with the WFO Radio audience. I greatly appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Joe, and hopefully I'll be able to join you again in the near future.
The way I say it is definitely the first time, but certainly not the last, because I'm going to want your thoughts and opinions as this thing gets down to the wire. We got the countdown, which is just turning out to be great. Let me ask you that. Do you like the countdown as a KG veteran? Do you like it?
It's a mixed bag, but it seems to be that I don't know that the winner of the countdown wouldn't have won the event, the series anyway. There's been a couple times when some people have had some really big leads that they had to give away, but it's been a disadvantage to them one year, but then the next year they come back and win the championship, in which they wouldn't have had a chance if it wouldn't have been for the countdown. So I think it's good for the fans. You have kind of like a regular season that you can root for your players, and then also the championship countdown to the championship, where it gets intense, and if you get hot at the right time, it's your championship to win. And but I don't know, haven't really analyzed, which I need to probably do, is if even like getting hot at the right time, they wouldn't have won the championship anyway. If you won four or five races in a row, you're going to probably win a championship regardless of the countdown or not. So,
very interesting, and I agree. I like the countdown. I know some people don't like it. I get emails, but it just look at the NFL team that has a great record and gets bounced in the second round of the playoffs, and they're out, and that's just the deal. You've got to be able to rise to the occasion, but there has to be an occasion to rise for, and that's the countdown, or the playoffs, or that's just the way we do it. You go, you reset, you go again, and that's kind of like drag racing. You run first round, you reset, you go again until you are the last man or woman standing. And I like it. I wanted to get your opinion there at the tail end. Rick, thank you so much. Folks, go to DragRaceCentral.com or obviously in the results section of NHRA.com. These guys are doing a great job. And now you know. Rick, thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe.
Rick Green with us here on WFO Radio, one of the personalities that is there every race, every week, doing work so that drag racing fans around the world can keep up with the sport. He deserves to be known to the WFO Radio audience, and I certainly hope you enjoyed his interview. He will be out there at the next race in Atlanta getting it done, and I appreciate him coming on the show. I learned a lot in that brief interview. Now, some results from Brownsburg, Indiana, Lucas Oil Raceway Park. The Division III season opener, Leo Taher, the voice of Division III, was honored. Alcohol dragster Mia Tedesco winning the race. Mia winning another Wally now, taking down Brandon Boer in the final round. In top alcohol funny car, it was Todd Robertson. Todd Robertson picking up the win against Paul Noakes. In competition eliminator, Todd France picked up the win. Brina Splinger in Superstock took down David Rampe, but Rampe is just final, 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 win, win, win. This guy's out of control. In Super Comp, it was Ray Connolly. Austin Richardson won in Stock. Steve Theodore won in Super Gas. Ryan Dillman won in Super Street. And Glenn Hall won in Pro Stock Snowmobile. That's kind of cool. Gerard Millay from Ontario, Canada, one in top sportsman, and Rob Mosier, one in top dragster. Kind of cool divisional results, and they're typed out. Rick Green is in the corner, clicking them out. so that everyone can keep up in real time. And this time it was on behalf of Leo Taher, which is very, very important. Leo, great guy to me and my father. Marine, what more can I say? He's a well-loved person in the world of NHRA drag racing. And I thought it was great that Drag Race Central put out the results and made the trip on behalf of Leo. Great stuff. Now, we've got Brian Greer coming up next, and that'll be the end of this really long show, but I think most people like it and appreciate it. Killing a little time. Hopefully you will subscribe. They're not all the same time. Some are longer than others. We got nothing, we got nothing, we got too much. It's kind of the way it's worked out. You can follow on our social media and interact with the show. Send me an email. I've got a great stack of emails that I am going to get to where people have been writing wonderful things. And I had a really cool experience at Royal Purple Raceway that I want to talk about. The long and short of it is, one of the top dragster competitors was rocking a WFO radio t-shirt. Like the crew chief or the crew member was out on the starting line sporting the WFO radio black t-shirts that you can get in the WFO store. And it was a moment for me because I don't know who it was and I didn't know, obviously I sent it out, but I didn't know which person it was. They didn't say, hey, we run Top Dragster. I don't have the connection. It was just, hey, that's our shirt on somebody who's a racer and they care. That's cool. It was a big moment and I was very happy about that. Thank you, sir, for that. And for those of you out there, if you like the show, and you want to be like this guy, it's good enough for him, good enough for you guys. The shirt is cool. Get to the WFO store and check it out. Now, before we get to Brian Greer, I do want to bring up something that I mentioned last week on the show. We try to make them all serial in that one is connected to the next, to the next, to the next. Especially the Ignition show, where we'll be talking about Dale Jr.'s victory. And I know a lot of the NHRA fans aren't necessarily NASCAR fans, but maybe you'll like the show anyway. Believe it or not, there's comedy. Here, not so much. There are moments that people are actually laughing. I know. It's kind of shocking, and yet it is true. There is comedy, there is fun, wrapped in a package that is racing. And we do talk some NHRA drag racing. You got to check out the Ignition show a couple weeks in a row. When we come back, Brian Greer is going to join us, going to talk about his legendary father, Sherrill Greer, who was the first NHRA funny car champion in the current points system. A big mad thrash to do it, was voted the number one moment in Auto Club Finals history. And he received the award for his father at the International Drag Racing Hall of Fame in March. We've been trying to get together for this interview for a long time, and it is so worth it. One quick note, check out yourvelocity.com. It is a great resource. They came on board a couple of weeks ago, and they want to get to the WFO radio audience, and they want you, which I greatly appreciate, you to know that they are an online magazine for businesses and business people and marketing people and people who want to learn and improve themselves. There's video tutorials. There's all kinds of great stuff. Go to yourvelocity.com. You hear Larry Dixon doing the spots, don't you? That should tell you a whole lot in and of itself. We'll be back after this.
It ain't just wide open. It's W. F.O.
Hey everybody, Joe here, and I hereby decree on behalf of the WFO universe, the winter is over, which means it's time to grill. Get yourself some Rodax Coffee and Grills.com, barbecue, spice rub, hot sauce, and of course, incredible coffee. They've got the WFO radio blend, they've got the Bang the Blower, they've got the exotics. It's all roasted fresh per your order, representing the top 5% of coffee throughout the world. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com or give Marvin a call. 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
WFO radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out WilsonManifolds.com, the leader in intake manifold and nitrous oxide development. They've set records and won championships in just about every series in professional racing. Sprint Cup, Nationwide, Camping World Truck Series, NHRA Pro Stock, right up to the Nitro Classes. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out the leader in intake and nitrous development at WilsonManifolds.com. Hey race fans, first you need to know, I'm not an attorney at Spiegel & Utrera PA. Spiegel & Utrera PA's General Counsel Club can assist you with tough legal and business questions at crucial times. And right now, from New York City to Los Angeles, Chicago to Miami, and points in between, WFO radio listeners can receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. They can assist with trademarks and copyrights, converting hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses, how to buy or sell a business, contracts and legal documents, and more. Click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad and enter your email address and receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. And remember, knowledge is power.
The stars of drag racing. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
What do you think about tying Bob Glidden when you look at the wins list and it's Bob Glidden, Dan Fletcher together? What does that mean to you historically?
When I sit there and I think about that, you know, when someone like yourself says that, I mean, I'm tied with Bob Glidden. Bob freaking Glidden. Are you serious? I mean, an absolute icon of the sport. I'm just some moron bracket racer that, you know, got into stock and super stock, and, you know, I've got 269 Camaros that roll around the country trying to do my thing, and I'm tied with Bob Glidden, for crying out loud. That's crazy.
NHRA Nitro is available on demand at WFOradio.com. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Welcome back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. We got an off week, got Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. And we celebrate Mother's Day by taking a weekend off, which is a cool thing every now and again because it gives us great opportunities to do, like, questions with Ron Capps, which is very, very cool, but also to go back and reconnect with some ideas that we didn't quite get to at the time. I'll give you an example. This year, at the Amalie Motor Oil Gator Nationals, the International Drag Racing Hall of Fame induction inducted the 1974 NHRA Funny Car Champ, Cheryl Greer, who is known as the first NHRA Funny Car Champion with the modern point system, did it in a very spectacular way, being voted the number one Auto Club Finals moment in NHRA history. We wanted to talk about it. We've got the right man for the job. Joining us now, son of Cheryl Greer, Brian Greer, who accepted the award at Don Garlitz International Drag Racing Hall of Fame. He joins us now. Brian, welcome to WFO Radio.
Thank you so much, Joe, and thank you all for having me. It's quite an honor. Any chance I get to reflect and reminisce about the old champs, always quite an honor and a thrill for me. And I tell you what, it never gets old. Only thing is, here being Mother's Day weekend, my mom's probably going to want to hand it to me for talking about my dad, but she's pretty used to it by now.
I can understand. Isn't that always the battle? But without the moms, chances are the dads wouldn't be able to be out there racing.
That's right. That's right. Behind every good man, they say there's a good woman. And, you know, my dad was actually pretty fortunate. He had five throughout his whole career here on this earth. And so, you know, he definitely liked his women about as much as he did his black and miles, I think.
There you go. Now, your dad passed away in March of 2010, so it has been a little bit of time. But this past year, kind of a big year in celebrating his life with two big accolades pretty much back-to-back. First being voted the number one moment in finals history, his 1974 championship win over the likes of Don the Snake Prudhomme and Paul Smith. Going down to the final race, a huge explosion, a fire, he gets burned, he races the car anyway, and he ends up winning the finals. What did you think about being nominated and ultimately being the number one moment in finals history?
Well, I got to tell you, it was obviously quite a pleasant surprise, but definitely an unsuspected or unexpected surprise as well, Joe. You know, of course, you know, growing up, me and my brothers naturally we're probably a little bit biased towards dad, and it's a shame that, you know, that he's not really here with us to get to see a lot of this recognition. But I've really got to hand it to the fans, because that was, we like to call them friends. I don't refer to them as fans because we're out to make friends, not fans. And the people voted on that, and it's and to me that's the thing that's been lost in drag racing is the people that pay money to actually watch morons like myself and like my dad and Jungle and all the guys back in the day, the ones that showed up and paid the money, that's what it's all about. So it was just quite an honor to see that the fans' voice was heard and that all of our friends out there, you know, just like back in 74, we couldn't have done it without them.
Now, what do you remember from that championship? I imagine you were pretty young. How old were you? Funny car just beginning, the first season of the current go out, race for points, earn points, championship style. Your dad goes down to the final race, very dramatic stuff. He suffers a bad fire, and the fellow racers jump in, and a combination of things happening end up making him the champion. How old were you? What do you remember of it? And tell me about your experience as your dad returned home as champion.
Well, Joe, I want to say I was like 4 years old at the time. I wasn't actually in California. Obviously, I was a little too young to travel that far. But I do remember that when Dad returned home from out there, he smelled really bad. You know, the smell of burnt hair and burnt flesh was just it's just something I never forgotten. And I remember that, you know, having to help him doctor up his burns, he discovered that Preparation H was the best burn mess, and I'm giving away an old family secret, but that's the stuff to put on them if you get burned. And I remember having to, you know, help him rub ointment on him and stuff like that. But I think what I remember most, Joe, was that big Wally that said Cheryl Greer, 1974 NHRA Funny Car World Champion, and I still have it. So it's definitely a prized possession.
This year, Big Daddy Don Garlitz, International Drag Racing Hall of Fame. Every year there are several inductees. This year your father was one of the inductees, and you went down and participated in the event on behalf of your father. What was that like, having your dad inducted in with such a great group of legendary racers and drag racers?
Well, I tell you, it was kind of like a dream come true, to be honest with you, Joe. A lot of family, a lot of friends, a lot of heroes, and just a room full of legends. And, you know, since it wasn't my award to accept, I kind of did something a little bit different. I was blessed and fortunate to have Al Hanna and his son Rich come in and present me to accept the award. And for a lot of people that don't know, Hanna was one of the main guys that led the Thrash to getting the car back together, and was actually the only guy big enough to loan Dad a fire suit. So he gets up there and he does his presentation, and he presents my brother and I with the actual helmet that he loaned Dad. He's had it for 41 years, and he had it redone, and actually gave us the helmet that Dad was wearing when he won the world championship. And that really blew us away. We weren't expecting that. And I basically just kind of reflected on my life with Dad, and then I had written a song about him, and you know, he liked for me to sing to him. Music was a big deal. And, you know, traveling, we didn't have XM radio and satellite and these iPods and stuff. You'd run out of radio. So we'd jam in an 8-track. And so I had Dad's helmet and his mask, and I stuck a black and mild in his mouth. I feel like the Hannahs really brought Dad, the spirit of him, into the Hall of Fame. And I just sang to him.
Wow. That is... That is emotional. That's an emotional story right there.
It was pretty heavy duty. I think there was the waterworks were definitely on. I know that if John Force didn't tell me 20 times that he loved me, he didn't tell me once. He was pretty impressed with what we did, and I think Garth was. And it was just something a little bit different. But like I said, you know, it wasn't my award to accept, so I just wanted to do something that I thought, you know, that Dad would have been proud of. And, you know, I know it brought Force to tears. He actually got up there on stage and told his daughters that when he died, he wanted them to get up there and sing about him. So, Courtney and Brittany, you know, I apologize. I'm sure you're not very big fans of mine because of that. But, you know, if it helps, I'll get up there and sing with you about your daddy, too.
That is awesome. We, let's not get there too quickly, hopefully. I'm sure John doesn't want to be there too quickly. Al Hanna, of course, still heavily involved in motorsports with jet cars and whatnot. And that is awesome. He lent your dad the helmet and the fire suit. It had been burned. And it's kind of interesting to think about how it was different then. You couldn't just, like, the stuff wasn't as available as it is now.
No, it was not, Joe. And you know, guys didn't carry spare bodies. There wasn't a whole lot of spare parts. Most of the drivers actually had a hand in working on the cars. You know, Dad, you know, he wore a lot of hats. You know, he served as his own crew chief. He was a owner. He was a driver. And he drove the truck. He did whatever it took. And, you know, you already got enough on your plate, and then you get burnt to the ground. It looks like everything's over with. And then guys like Al Hanna and Paul Smith and Gordy Bonin and Paul Radice and Jim Hoover and all the guys that just pitched in, and they stayed up all night. It wasn't a thing in the world to be gained for them by doing what they did. I have to believe that God or some form of angel put it on their hearts to say, hey, man, let's help this guy. He's a long way from home. He's this close. He deserves a shot at it. And to be honest, I mean, I believe that if the good Lord hadn't touched their hearts in that way, it definitely would have never happened. Because, I mean, you know, it's like the Beatles song, you know, he got by with a lot of help from his friends, and that couldn't be more true than in that situation. And it's a very inspiring and a very poignant moment in motorsports history, and I'm just very honored that, you know, 41 years later, people still remember it, people still talk about it, and, you know, for me and my brothers, that just shows us that the legend of the old champ is going to live on for a very, very long time, and we could not be more happy about that.
NHRA fans certainly support the people who work hard and rise to the occasion. Just for those who are new listeners who maybe don't know or haven't read about the moment, it was like a big battle between Don Prudhomme and Paul Smith and Frank Hall and Cheryl Greer. This is when points were based on combination of national and divisional races. Cheryl had won Le Grand National in Montreal, which was his only national event win at the time. And it came down to the finals, and Cheryl explodes and burns the body, and everyone goes to work. Paul Smith, and Hall both did not qualify, which meant that the snake was really the guy that had a chance to take it. And, of course, that had to be very frightening, of course, knowing Don the Snake at the time. Cheryl was able to win his first-round matchup with the rebuilt car. He was burned badly, and he drove the car burned. And then Dale Poldy beat Don Prudhomme in the first round. That secured, or in the second round, and that secured the championship for Cheryl Greer, and he was the first funny car champion under the current point system. So think about the drama of, you know, the run, Tony Schumacher, all of that stuff. This didn't necessarily go down to the final round, but given all the chaos surrounding it, that is why people felt like it was the number one moment.
Well, it definitely deserves mentioning, that's for sure. And it just, you know, all the other moments were great and awesome moments. And you're right. I think that the thing that separates Dad's moment from everyone else's that was listed as a top 10 moment is the fact that his is the only one that really wasn't entirely performance based, from what I remember. And the moment reflected more upon the camaraderie and the friendship and just the struggles and the efforts that a bunch of racers that really just didn't believe that they couldn't do it. You know what I mean? They knew they could do it. They didn't believe in quit. They had the never say die attitude, and they all came together for someone that they thought a lot of. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing. I mean, it's history. It'll be history. And, you know, like I said, you know, through the efforts of my brothers and myself, with these tribute cards and stuff, we just hope to give the friends out there a taste of what it was like before corporate America took over the sport of drag racing as we know it. And we just want to give them a good show just like we always did. That really means a lot to us.
So let's get into that. You currently have a tribute car, what we would commonly call a nostalgia funny car, but you don't race it, but you are working on another one. Tell us what you have and what your plans are for them.
That's right, Joe. We currently have a replica of the 1975 Mustang II, which would have been the car that Dad defended the world championship with. And as you said, it's basically just a nostalgic car. It won't pass the NHRA certs. So I have taken my old S&W car, and I've had Hal Canode, and I think Pete Miner's going to do a little bit of the finishing touches, help me make the necessary changes to convert the car to nitro, and I'm going to build the Mach 1 that won the championship with in 74, and I plan on driving the car myself at some NHRA Heritage races, the IHRA Nitro Jam Series, whenever we can afford to get there, and I've also been talking with Bruce Washington about doing some match races against the old USA 1 car and have, you know, Greer and Larson stage up just like it was back in the old days. And that's the ultimate goal in mind, is to give the fans a taste of what drag racing was like in the formidable years when, you know, guys didn't have a lot of money. Families did a lot of sacrificing for the guys that was on the road so the daddies could go out on the road. Mama stayed home and took care of babies. And, you know, it wasn't all this business like it is now. It was a love and a passion. And the guys gave everything they had and then some. And some of them are probably still paying for it. I know I will be for a long time. But I really can't wait to get back in the seat of a funny car and get out there and just give those fans a show like we did back in the 70s. We're going to make it look like 1974 all over again, hopefully, minus the fire.
Yeah, that sounds like a good plan. And just like with your father, you have some help, actually, from some modern era racing teams that understand that this is a fun project and have gotten behind you in various forms.
Well, I've definitely been blessed as far as the health department. I've got my good friend Anthony DeCero has partnered up with me, and I can't thank him enough for helping me to come up with the parts and a lot of the pieces that we need. He also runs Nitro University. He runs an A-Fuel Dragster. Any of you guys and girls out there that think you want to go out and mix it up with the big boys, well, he's got your avenue. I mean, you can get your license in the top alcohol dragster. Runs 270. And he's also got a crew school. I've got Anthony helping. I've got Todd Blakely, who works for Bob Vandergriff, is an instrumental part of this deal. That guy by the name of Kenny Hergert, who's worked for Paul Smith for years. Actually, Paul Smith has done quite a bit to help us get going. The Gwynn family's helped us. So many people. Chase Knight at Crane Cams, Mickey Thompson Wheels and Tires, Mikey Mays, you name it, remodeling in Warner Robins, Georgia. There's so many people coming from so many different areas. Barbara Holbrook, Donnie Holbrook's widow, that's helping us out with parts. We've just got a lot of great people behind this deal. And, you know, we may look like an amateur the first time out, but I wouldn't count on it.
Wow, that is awesome, Brian. Great to hear. And so our audience understands, obviously, you are, in many ways chasing a drag racing dream like so many others out there, but you got a 9-to-5. You're out there working, trying to make this happen in your spare time. Not everybody who is trying to do this has got, like, enormous resources. You are a regular guy with a regular job.
I am what you call Poe, Joe. I can't even afford the last O-R. I'm actually walking the car lot here at Tri-Cities Dodge in Kingsport, Tennessee, looking to sell someone a new car. And I'd much rather be strapped in the seat of that chain light than Mustang, but, you know, you got to pay the bills before you can, you know, you got to pay the commercial breaks and all that stuff to get out there to do your dance. So that's where we're at. I mean, I'm definitely low on resources. Obviously open to any type of sponsorship. Anyone that wanted to get involved in preserving a genuine piece of American drag racing history, this is definitely the avenue for you. But enough of the selfless plug in there. I'm just a poor guy with big dreams, and I just love my dad a lot. And this is a promise that I made to him before he passed, that I would finish what we started, and I have every intention of doing so. So I've got my brother Van Greer that also tries to help me out here as much as he can. He's a bracket racer, races at Bristol every weekend. We just finished up a replica of Dad's 1965 Dodge Coronet, the tension car, and he's actually bracket racing this car. It was the first car that went down Bristol 50 years ago. Van made the opening pass on opening day, first pass 50 years later, just a couple of weeks ago. And so, I mean, we're just really into preserving the I said earlier, the way drag racing used to be, and we just want to share with the fans everything that we can. And, you know, not having the deep pockets makes it hard for us to set a deadline. So I just have to tell everybody out there that as soon as we get it ready, she'll be ready.
That is awesome. Just a quick couple of notes. I have been hearing the name Van Greer for a long time, and of course, me being silly, I never really made that connection, but a good friend of mine from my bracket racing days, Ernie McDaniel, used to always talk about Van Greer and Bristol, and this guy is unbelievable. It's out Ray Wilkesboro, and just how the guy was unconscious on the reaction time and running the top end, winning multiple track championships. Van Greer, Van Greer, Van Greer, this guy is the best. And even a couple of times over the past couple of years in these summit showcases, you know, there's a guy out there in like a very like 19-second slow dually. It's Van Greer, multi-time track champion, son of Cheryl Greer, and it's your brother. So I think that's kind of cool.
Well, he is definitely a force to be reckoned with in the bracket racing world. Like I said, he's won more races at Bristol Dragway than anyone in the history of the track. And you know, there's a lot of big names in that company, and to be able to say that, you know, it's, I guess, because it was in the sportsman classes, you know, that it probably goes unnoticed, but I definitely think that's worth mentioning. He's my best friend. He's my big brother. He's a little heavy, but, you know, he is awesome, and he's a great person, and, you know, it's what an honor and what a blessing it is to be able to do something like this together as a family, because that's what always made the drag racing thing special for us, is that, you know, like Van said one time, you know, most of our family pictures got made in the winner's circle.
That is awesome. Brian, I appreciate it. I'm glad we finally got together. It took a while, but we did it.
Absolutely, Joe. I know we had planned on talking at Gainesville, and we planned on talking prior to that, and, you know, obviously we both had pretty hectic schedules, but, you know, the good Lord lined all the planets up just right, so I'm so glad and so honored to be able to be a part of this. It means a whole lot to me and my family. I can't thank you enough.
Oh, thank you for coming on. We appreciate it. I know we've got a lot of WFO radio listeners. Hey, maybe they want a Dodge. Maybe they're in Tennessee. They're in the Tri-Cities area. They're looking for one of those awesome new Chrysler 300s or something out there, and they'll come see you. That could happen.
Well, let me tell you all out there, Mopar or no car, baby, you want the best deal on the Dodge, you need to come see the facilitator, Brian Greer, Tri-Cities Dodge in Kingsport. We'll be glad to take care of you.
There you have it. Maybe let me know if one of them comes, okay? Let me know. I think that will be interesting.
Absolutely.
There you go.
You mentioned WFO, we'll throw in a free highway emergency pack and a free tank of gas.
There you go. Wow, we're wheeling and dealing here. I feel like I'm on the lot. That's awesome. Brian, thank you for coming on the show. I had a great time speaking with you the first time, but certainly not the last. We'll do it again.
Thank you, Joe. It's quite an honor, and thanks to all the friends and family out there that are listening. God bless each and every one of you. Whenever you feel down, look up, because that's where the good stuff comes from, baby.
All right, Brian. Talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, Joe.
Brian Greer with us here on WFO Radio. How good was that interview? So worth the wait. We've been exchanging phone calls and emails dating back to February, maybe even before that. Maybe last year when they were doing the voting for the Auto Club Finals, and we finally got it in, and it was so worth the wait. How about it, folks? I always say, if you get to this point of the show, once the driver interviews are all over with, and we've got everything, we had Caps answering questions, such a great job by the WFO audience, and J.R. Todd, and Rick Green, and Brian Greer, and Alan Reinhardt, we appreciate you getting to this point, because it's been a long one. The off week, when we don't have winners, and we really don't know exactly where the show is going to go in terms of guests, end up being the longest ones, because we got nothing, we got too much. But there's no such thing as too much on WFO radio. It just takes you a little longer to get through the show. Some people have said that to me. They're like, well, it's a long show. And I'm like, yes, because the listeners are looking for content. It's not a radio show where you're in the car for 15 minutes and then you get out and you miss the rest. When you go to get out, you hit pause and it will be waiting for you later. If you've enjoyed the show, there's a couple of things you can do. You can click on the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad and sign up for your free 30 days. You can find out about the Frank Hawley Dragster Adventure or Marvin Rodak's Coffee. You could buy a black WFO radio t-shirt. I am sitting on so many great stories that I have yet to put out there because of lack of time. I know I just told you, I can take forever, but now it's the end. It's my time. It's the end of the show, and I'm thinking to myself, all right, we got to get to Ignition. We got a whole nother Ignition show that we do, which is really fun and exciting, and we've been meerkatting it, and we're going to talk about the Mayweather fight and how it was viewed by so many people without paying, using the Periscope technology and what that means, and is it a good thing or a bad thing. We're going to get in on many, many details. Obviously, Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s huge victory out there at De La Dega, that's huge. It's a big, big deal. We're going to get into that on Ignition, and maybe some people are going to listen to part of Nitro and then part of Ignition and then back to Nitro, and it's all in the WFO Radio app for free. But one thing I will share with you, a story. I've got a stack of email from WFO listeners, Andy the golfer, and new listeners, and you guys are loading me up with emails, and I'm going to read them next week. No doubt. But here is one story. By the way, it is also John Force's birthday, from what I understand. Happy birthday, John Force! We have the NHRA press conference in our interview archive. Are you guys aware of that? That the NHRA press conferences are now being posted in our interview archive, while the NASCAR press conferences are being posted in our Ignition archive. Now, why is that? Because we want you to go back and forth and learn how to use stuff and go here for some things and go there for other things, because where else would you get to hear Randy Meyer and Doug Gordon and Erica and our Vegas picks when we pick for NASCAR races? This is all great stuff. But all right, let's go back to Royal Purple Raceway and the O'Reilly Auto Parts Spring Nationals. I am in the tower. I am in the broadcast booth. It is myself and Brian Loans from BangShift.com, and someone is on the mic, him or me or both. And Top Dragster is pulling to the lanes. And I had this experience. It was kind of a weird but positive experience that I don't know how many people go through it, but I know some go through it, and it was super cool. So as the Top Dragsters are coming out to the starting line, they're pulling through the water box, and people are coming and going as the cars get onto the track and make their run and then go away. Crew members coming up and helping. Well, one crew member I noticed has got this very bright, super colorful, very awesome shirt. Like, look at that shirt. That looks really cool and super familiar. Like, what is that? And the guy is sporting a WFO Radio t-shirt. And I don't know him, and we're not friends or buds, or I didn't give him the shirt. It's just someone out there who is a drag racing competitor who listens to WFO Radio, who thought, that shirt is super cool, I want to wear that shirt, and is out there on the starting line with a six-second Top Dragster at a national event rocking the WFO Radio t-shirt. And it's a moment. It's a thing. It's like, wow, the first time you see somebody totally unsolicited, not by on purpose, you didn't give it to them, you don't know them, they're not a friend, they're not a family member. Remember, we're a worldwide show. So as people go to the WFO store and buy shirts and gear and stickers and all that stuff, they're going out all over the place. I don't necessarily see people wearing them unless they take a photo and send it to us, which we greatly appreciate, and put out on our social media and think it's cool. But this was a moment. It was like, wow. And I even turned to Brian Loans, and I'm like, wow. And he's like, yeah, that is cool, because he's been through it with Bang Shift. The first time you see someone you don't really know rocking your logo, your entity, repping you, it was cool. And so to that guy, and I tried to look at the tech card and remember who it was, and obviously throughout the weekend it just was washed from my brain. Just like Sam Porciao's nephew was supposed to contact me with stickers. I was supposed to give the guy stickers. He's going to put it on a stalker, and I lost contact with him because I'm running around. But we will reconnect. And good things are happening in the world of WFO. Ron Capps answering your questions to me. That's great stuff. You guys did excellent. And hopefully, next time, when we put out the push notifications and we tell everybody, call in your questions, you know what to do. And won't be shy and not know how to deal with the voicemail. It's really easy. This is time-shifted media, meaning it's not live because we want you to listen whenever you can. And we give up the live element on purpose so that we can interview a whole host of great personalities. And you can listen whenever you want, a week in advance or a year in advance, whatever, whenever. And part of that is that we have to use this voicemail to have caller interaction. Just part of it. And so you give your name, question, where you're calling from, WFO. Everybody did. Great job. A+. J.R. Todd, Brian Greer, Rick Green. How cool was Rick Green? I thought Rick Green was great. Great stuff. Big thanks to everybody who listens to WFO on a regular basis. Get a t-shirt. Check out our sponsors. That's the deal. We're going to get ready for Ignition. Starting now, because it's practically time to start Ignition. Dale Adega, that's going to do it. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there, and to my own mom, who I know listens to every minute of every show that I do. Thank you, Mom, for all that you have done, helping my father and I live. I greatly appreciate it. It is something. And J.R. Todd, he's going to the Bahamas. And the thing about moms is she, I'm sure, is so happy for her son to be going with his friends to the Bahamas. That is what it's all about. Thank you to all the moms out there for doing your thing and raising us right and loving us when we do bad things and setting us straight, putting us on the right course. We need that. Thank you, moms. All right, that's going to do it. We'll see you next time right here on WFO Radio.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.